Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. I now call this Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices are for use in the council chambers are available from the clerk's office. Please ensure that all phones or cell phones are turned off or placed in silent. Are there any members of council who have to declare a pecuniary interest? And seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that an item be held so that further discussion can happen. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first on that item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place this evening. The recommendation will go forward to Council for consideration at the next meeting. Staff report 2019-0236, proposed street renaming Cross Country Boulevard to Roy Clarkson Way. Approved on consent. Heritage Caledon Committee report. Approved on consent. Committee report 2019-0245, recommendations for allocation of designated heritage property grant funding for autumn 2019. Approved on consent. Award of excellence nominations. Approved on consent. We will now move into the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. There are three public meetings on tonight's agenda. Proposed official plan amendment and zoning bylaw amendment 13233 and 13247 Nunville Road, Ward 5. Proposed official plan amendment, zoning bylaw amendment 4 Walkers Road, Ward 3. Zoning bylaw amendment and site plan amendment for Zero Coleraine 12300 Coleraine, 12400 Coleraine, and 12592 Coleraine, Ward 4. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning these applications. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the applications being heard tonight should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested people wishing further notification regarding the application are advised to clearly print their name and address on the appropriate notification sheet outside the entrance of the chambers. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name for the public record and providing their comments. Following the public comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding the information contained tonight. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter. We will now move into the public meeting for proposed official plan amendment, zoning bylaw amendment 13233 and 13247 Nunville Road. I will now ask for Leilani Lee Yates, Senior Planner, Development East Community Services, to confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In accordance with the Planning Act, notice of the public meeting was printed in the Caledon Enterprise and Caledon Citizen on Thursday, October 24th, 2019. Notice was mailed out to all landowners within 120 meters of the property, and signage was posted on the property. In addition, notice of the meeting was posted on the town's website.
Thank you, Ms. Lee Yates. I will now call upon Chad John Batiste, Director of Planning, Ontario WSP, to begin the presentation. Okay, the pointer isn't working, so can you advance slides from the computer? Okay, carry on.
Good evening, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Chad John Batiste from WSP. Land use planning consultant for Bolton Midtown Developments, Inc. and their development proposal along Nunville Road. Here today with a couple of other members of the consultant team, Jim Firth of Crozier and Associates, Aaron Wignall, traffic consultant also with Crozier and Associates, Michaela Batacola as another land use planner with our team. All right, there we go. So the subject site's located on the east side of Bolton, south of King Street, located within the Bolton Settlement Area, which is, as the committee is familiar, a rural service center in the region of Peel. The site's generally bound by Albion Vaughan Road to the east and Nunville Road to the west. There are single detached units that currently exist to the site to the north, the south, and the west. Township of King is to the east. The two existing parcels currently have single-family lots contained within them, as well as the northern portion has the environmental lands that are proposed to be conveyed to the TRCA. The total area is approximately 8 acres. And one of the things, if I actually just go a little bit off script, one of the things that has been pointed, came from the open house, was discussions about connections to Hubert Corliss Road, which is further to the south of the site. And I just want to perhaps point out that that's not something that's being proposed as part of the application. Just moving. You've got a colored plan of subdivision on the screen and just some quick stats that sort of tie in with the application. So as I noted, the total area is about 8 acres. Approximately 5 acres of that is developable, proposing 35 single detached units, a mix of sort of 30-foot units, 19 of those, and 40-foot units, 16 of those. Part of our development proposing a sidewalk along the north side. One aspect as well to consider is we're proposing a public street with a public right-of-way to Town of Caledon standards, so that's a 60-foot public right-of-way in a cul-de-sac that we're proposing with the proposed development. With respect to sort of the thought process behind the density of the site, when the owner for Bolton Midtown first approached us, we actually looked at a variety of concepts with respect to this, including concepts that had some more density on these lands. Some preliminary feedback from discussions with councillors and in part staff led us to the applications currently before council today. Also, with respect to the right-of-way, just picking up again on some feedback from the public meeting, or from the open house, excuse me, this is a full right-of-way, a bit different than the Bateman Lane across the road from Nunville, which is a condominium driveway. So for snow storage and so on, this would be sort of a typical approach in Town of Caledon to address. With respect to the design, we're proposing two-story units. Here's some conceptual images, the types of units that could occur. For the larger units, the 40-foot units, our client has been in touch with the seniors task force for the Town of Caledon, and we're looking at options to incorporate things such as granny suites or more accessibility unit type layouts as part of the final offering to purchasers. Just in terms of a couple of items around the site and things to consider, this is going to be ultimately an extension of the existing community within a 5-minute walk of an existing public park. There are existing trails, either existing or proposed, within the immediate vicinity. Significant component of the land are proposed to be incorporated into the ultimate valley lands to the north of the subject site. One other thing I'd like to point out as well is there's a lot of conversation about traffic and traffic concerns. A traffic study was submitted as part of the proposal, which included looking at the intersection of Nunville and Albion Vaughan Road. And based on the results of that study, it's I know residents will be some concerns about this, but the volumes are essentially negligible in terms of the increase of traffic at that intersection. As a result, a traffic signal isn't needed as part of the development application moving forward. Just a little bit in terms of the policy context. So this is an extract from the Region Appeals Official Plan. The subject sites within the Rural Service Center, the Region Appeals Official Plan. There are intensification targets that exist for the town of Caledon through to 2031. Approximately 1,500 units are targeted to be sort of within Bolton or within Caledon East. And so the proposed development application is consistent with that provincial policy, which of course flows through from provincial policy statement, flows through from the growth plan, and the general principle of sort of trying to support development on existing services. As council is aware, There are plans for extension of a sewer along Nunville. There's an existing water main, so servicing either is or will be in place to support the proposed development. The Town of Caledon's official plan currently identifies the area as a special residential area, which recognizes the existing land uses, but also recognizes that through further study, such as the application that's before committee and council, that you can do a further assessment to determine whether those land uses should change. As part of our application, there's an official plan amendment application, and we're proposing to redesignate the lands to a low-density residential designation, which accommodates the type of development that's proposed. Just real briefly on the zoning, as there's a zoning bylaw amendment application as well. The lands are currently zoned a residential estate with a site-specific provision in the environmental policy area. We're proposing a site-specific rezoning amendment to implement the development as currently proposed. In terms of the types of studies that have been completed, here's a list of all the studies that were completed as part of the application. I think it's important to point out that there's been a lot of review and assessment. It's also an application where we're currently getting feedback from town staff and other agencies. And once we get that feedback, as well as the feedback from the public tonight, we'll look to incorporate that in an updated submission and then potentially move forward. So that's the presentation that I have for this evening. I'm happy to take any questions that there may be of the committee.
Okay, thank you, Chad. If you want to just take a seat here, and if there's any questions that you're able to answer, we'll work through them. Just so everybody knows, there's been no decision made on this project. This is the applicant, and he's here to hear the input from the community. So with that, are there any members of the public who wish to speak to this application? Please come forward. If there's a number, you can kind of cue in behind this gentleman.
So my name is Jonathan Wilner. I live on Nunville Road. Thank you for the opportunity to present my arguments. Me and Louise went around for the last couple of weeks, and we accumulated over 120 signatures in a petition, which would ask you to photocopy for your records, and a variety of concerns.
Can you just give it to the clerk right here? Yes.
You want to be with me? I came up with some sort of harmonizing concerns that the public had, my neighbors and friends, and I divided it into two sections. One is facts, and the other one is emotional and subjective rationale or comments. And both of them, both segments are valid. You can't discard facts and you can't discourage emotions. So the facts are not any specific order. Nunville Road is not suitable for a minimum of an extra 70 cars. If there's 35 dwelling units, two cars on average without guests and teenagers with cars is minimum 70 cars. Currently, it takes about anywhere from 5 to 8 minutes in rush hour to get out from Nunville Road to the Albion Vaughan Road. I took an example, the subdivision that is south of us on Albion Vaughan, and I went there with a friend of mine from Canadian Standard Association, who's a standard statistical expert, and it takes an average of 20 minutes to to come out of the subdivision, I don't know the exact address, that is just south of us, out of Nunville Road. There's about 140 dwelling units there, so obviously it's more, but they are not a dead end. They've got two exits. The intersection with Albion Vaughan in rush hour is currently a challenge. We've got here neighbors that take them sometimes 5 minutes to exit Nunville Road, and sometimes they actually need to get out of the car and wave or beg for a stop. There's no infrastructure, not of water and sewage, not electrical, and in current days not over the internet on Nunville Road. To carry another 35 dwelling units will be a financial burden on the city, and the return on investment with taxes and so on is going to take years. According to the Accounting Association of Canada, such a Article 153640, and I'll get you the link, it will lower the property value by up to 20%. I know it will increase taxes for the township or the county, and that's another topic. If the subdivision of 35 people have guests over the winter, there's no place for them to park. We've got here people that will tell you about current parking tickets that they get when they park on the street against bylaws. I'm horrified to hear what's going to happen on Nunville Road or this little lane that is going to be built where a guest is going to park in the winter. It's going to affect the wildlife. My wife and I really enjoy sitting in the backyard and just day or night, and there's a tremendous activity of wildlife. The pedestrian traffic, I'm not saying teenagers or kids, but that's going to go between Nunville Road and the subdivision beside us, but through the tree line, is currently an issue. So with another 35 families, it's going to be a problem. The accumulation of garbage. Nunville Road is not serviced that good, and there's only two people. One of them is Murray, that is over here, and I, that periodically go up and pick the garbage that is that youngsters, and I'm saying it with somewhat of responsibility, that youngsters toss between the trees. And it starts with paper cups, water bottles, condoms, or smoking paraphernalia. It's a task to keep it clean. And anybody of you wants to come and see what used to be Nunville Road and now is just a walkway, it's horrifying. There's amount of junk there that can fill a truck. When one of the local inspectors or wardens came and told me I should call to some conservation area, because this area is a conservation area, but the topography of the place is so steep, it's impossible to clean it. There's anything from traffic cones to egg crates and anything in between. So the garbage is a problem. Bateman Lane was a tremendous success. The developer also wanted to be a high density, but after a couple of very cooperative but feisty meetings, they reduced the amount of housing, and it's a delight to everybody. So my argument is not against the development, it's against the density. We can live with 4, 6, maybe 8 development houses or dwelling units there, but definitely not 35. Historically, when we moved in, the zoning was agricultural residential. We loved it. That was one of the reasons we moved in. At some point, without our knowledge, it became a state residential. We would like to keep it an estate. So estate is hard to define. It's like pornography. You don't know what it is till you don't see it. But estate is the spirit and the atmosphere that we'd like to maintain. According to rumors, that I knew about historically, Caledon so far has exceeded its planned population plan for 2025. So that's an arbitrary number. It could be changed. I just want the committee to be aware of that. On a personal note, for six houses that are on Nunville Road on the northeast side, we all are on well water and septic tank. We like it like that. We don't want city water. We don't want sewage going through our property. The developer is properly financed. You can see the armada of experts that they came here. And they've got much, much deeper pockets than any one of us. But we're driven because it's our quality of life and lifestyle that we're seeking. Those were facts. Now, regarding the emotional aspect that should give weight just as much as the facts, because we're dealing here with the human aspect of people in our country. So, first of all, such a density will definitely affect the lifestyle in the neighborhood. I can't pinpoint how, but a high density of 35 houses, which is at least 100 people, at least 100 people, will affect us. Regarding the estate lots I mentioned, living in the Nunville or in the eastern part of Bolton has a quality of life of a city. We have everything in our close proximity, the services are good and everything, but the tranquility is of the county, of a country. Many of us don't have a cottage because we don't need a cottage. We don't need to escape the hustle of the city on the weekends. Things that are argumentable is the noise and the light pollution. These are things, because Bolton is one of the only places that on a clear summer night you can really still see the Milky Way. You don't see it in other places in Southern Ontario. The noise, again, the truckers are trying not to use the engine brake, but it's still somewhat quiet. Now I'm going to say two things that I know that are not politically correct, but I have to say it. And I can't again describe it it's an amorphous description. The teenagers or youngsters, that will change. I'm all for them. I've got kids myself, but that's not the issue. The issue is that on 35 houses, with that type of building, there'll be it's not going to be elderly population. It's going to be younger people that will definitely affect the environment, for better or for worse. It's always nice to see youngsters all around, but it will affect us. Another thing that I don't know how to present, because again it's something nebulous, is not in my backyard. So I'm all for development, but the development has to blend in with the lifestyle and the quality of life that brought us to Caledon and Bolton. And again, something that can be discussed. The developer could have chosen another site. There's enough land around, not literally in our backyard. And it's something that I feel. It's the first time that I'm coming on in such a public meeting. There was one different format with Bateman's Lane. Most of the people here are looking at you, our elected representatives, with trust. We trust you because we elected you. You've got to be on our side, not on future potential voters. Thank you.
Did you want to leave your, first of all, sign sheet behind, if you didn't. Did you want to leave your comments?
This?
Yes?
I might have to. We don't. I'll correct some spelling mistakes. English is not my native language, and we'll put it in a more logical order.
Very good. Chad, did you want to address any of the concerns, or you'll do that through the staff report? Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you sign the sheet?
John, can you sign
the sheet? I don't give
And you can come forward, ma'am.
Hi. Yes, my name's Louise. I live on Nunnville. And I share a lot of the points that Jonathan has made. My points that I want to emphasize are very similar to his in the sense that, you know, we moved to Nunnville because of the quietness of the street, also the privacy and the quality of the lifestyle. Now, no one's saying that we don't and we can't stop development. No one's saying that. We're just saying if you realistically try to imagine on the buildable land that they're proposing on 30-foot lots, which are even smaller than the adjacent neighborhood that already has parking issues beyond. Myself, I was on the street that I got a $90 ticket from the bylaw officer during the day last week because you're not allowed to park during the day in the wintertime if it's going to snow. I don't know where they're supposed to park, anywhere, if they're not allowed to park on the street, but I wasn't on a neighbor's, I wasn't visiting a neighbor, and even if I was visiting a neighbor on the street, there's a 30-foot lot, I don't know if there's two cars per house minimum where they're supposed to park. There is not an allowance for that. We live on a dead-end street. The fact that there is a roundabout, if there's even parking on the street, the challenge for the emergency vehicles to come in and around, if there's any blockage, there's no way in or out. There's just nowhere to go. There's one roundabout at the very end of the street. That's it. I will tell you that when our friend here described about the parks and the steps away to the paths and that, I will tell you from personal experience that that path leading down to Old King Road is extremely steep. Myself, and I'm pretty fit, I walked down that and I fell and smashed my head and got a severe concussion, and I reported that to the town. And I said, you know, fix it. Well, their fixing was put a sign, not winter maintained, and that was the way they dealt with it, okay? I said, so you can't describe something that the town offers and yet say it's not winter maintained and you're using it at your own risk. You can't do that. The whole sidewalk's a skating rink for most of the winter. Some parts, the ice is this thick. I myself, at my own house, have spent $10,000 for drainage. I've also spent another $10,000 to try to eliminate some of the issues with the drainage. Some of us on one side have what we call a grinder pump, which is a hybrid for the development behind. That also cost me $8,000 plus the flooding that I got around the house because of it. So those were my costs. I'm willing, and I was willing, to pay for those costs to maintain that lifestyle, okay? Like Jonathan said, we don't have, internet is very sparse depending on where you are in the house. Some places don't even get it. You know, some people have septic and well. Some people have a hybrid like mine, which is we're connected to the sewer by the grinder pump, which is a challenge in itself. So the streets, as far as the grass and the shoveling of the snow or the clearance, we are usually always the last. And anyone in our street will tell you that it requires us phoning the town saying, oh, yeah, you're supposed to do it every 3 weeks, but, oh, yeah, well, we got delayed. We didn't have enough time. It's always our street that's the last. Same with the snow. Same with the removal on the sidewalks. But you can't even walk on the sidewalks for most of the winter because of the ice. So then all of this new traffic that's coming is also a danger, okay? From what I understand and what I've been told, the Albion Vaughan Road was, the topography of that was, you can't see it when you're turning left or right. It's pretty dangerous. It's a pretty fast-flowing street. And apparently it was designed as what we are known to have been calling it as a goods movement road, which is to enable the transport trucks to flow through at a fair speed. So that would even be worse for 70 to 100 cars coming in. You talk about having to have more housing for seniors, and I get that. I mean, you know, I'm a senior, and people need to have houses that don't have a lot of stairs. Well, you tell me how you're going to build a 30-foot lot house without stairs. And then you're talking about in-law suites. How big are those houses? And if you have an in-law suite, then do they have a car? And what about the two people that are commuting within that house and their teenagers? The reality is that we are a commuting town. Most people work out of town, so therefore there's cars. We don't have the transportation or buses, and when that ever happens, that's a long ways down the road. I think that you really have to consider the amount of houses you're proposing to put on that street, and that they shouldn't be 35 and they shouldn't be 30-foot lot houses. They should be estate homes. They should be conducive and complementary to the street. I think of so many reasons that it should be a dead-end no for the fact that the first thing is it's a dead-end street and you can't accommodate all of these problems that are going to be exaggerated, and you talk about the roads and the paths and that, but yet those have you ever walked down that hill towards where you're saying? Try doing it in the winter. See what it's like and see the signs that are there and how I could have sued the town when I got a concussion and I said, just put some money towards fixing that problem. That's what I wanted to happen, and that's when they put a sign, no winter maintenance. So that's their quick fix. So I'm hoping that the council and the developers and everyone listens to what we have to say and why we are saying it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Some of your comments with regards to winter maintenance, the CAO, acting CAO, is taking them down, so she'll talk to the Public Works tomorrow. And thank you very much. If you want to come forward, please.
Oh, hi. My name is Andrea.
Okay. Oh, I'll just continue on, but say if you've got new to add.
Well, I just want to reiterate what the other two have said.
Okay.
Because my husband and I do live right beside this proposed development, and our concern is the amount of dwellings and the traffic
okay.
of the cars.
Okay.
And getting in and out of Nunville Street. Like, those are the two main things, and I do agree with the other issues that the two of them had.
Okay, thank you very much. Make
thank
sure you do sign in,
okay.
please. Thank you. If you have something more to add, that would be...
A little, very little. My husband and I also live on the other side of the proposed
Oh, can you state your name, please?
Nancy Wilner, 13259.
No, you need your address.
Oh, okay. So my concern or question is whether there will be any kind of concern with our wells. So the whole side of the street is on wells. So I'm worried about the quality of our water and the quantity of our water, and whether you know, this development so large will make a difference.
Okay.
I am also against the density. I think it takes away from the character of our street and the traffic and so on. But that's been mentioned. I don't want to overdo the same questions.
Okay, I think Chad wants to maybe make a comment about the water.
Sure.
Speak
this way. And your mic, turn it on with the button. There you go.
Very briefly, a hydrological assessment was one of the studies that was completed as part of the applications. And generally speaking, sort of the depths of the services are higher than sort of the depth for the groundwater. So it's not anticipated to be a concern, but we're looking forward for feedback on that study.
So the study's been done, and town staff will, and through the region, I think, but
yeah.
I believe, is the ones that verify the information that they put in. That they send in, so the region will be verifying any of the work that they've done.
Because, you know, the topography is very
yes.
up and down.
Yes.
So that was my one of my concerns.
Okay.
And then the density itself.
Okay.
So reiterating everything that everyone else is saying.
Yep. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did you sign in?
I am now.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Evening, everyone. Councillors, Mayor Thompson. My name is Todd Saunders,
And my wife Connie and I have lived on Nunville Road for over 25 years. During that time, we've seen the development of the Riverwood Terrace, Hubert Corliss, Sant Farm neighborhoods. We've patiently accepted the Bateman Lane neighborhoods development. We've lived through three street name changes as the Albion Vaughan arterial bypass was going through its development phases, and eventually Nunville became a cul-de-sac and the arterial bypass was put in behind our property. Over the years, Connie and I have checked with the town, made inquiries about developing our property, and we learned through those inquiries that Nunville was a growth area designated by the town. We also came to the realization that to develop properties, you need a substantial amount of resources and the know-how. Enter Mr. Mora, who's put in this application. Mr. Mora came to our residence in January, and we sat down and spoke about his vision for a neighborhood. And his vision aligned with ours, and it became very apparent to us that his morals were very much like ours. He is for responsible development. Mr. Mora grew up in Bolton with the school there. His family are still residents of the town. Mr. Mora has developed a strong working relationship with representatives of the town. He has shown his willingness to work with the town in responsible development. An example of that would be the Robinson Homestead that sat down at the bottom of Albion Vaughan for years, and Mr. Mora took it upon himself to incorporate that into his community that he built south of the train tracks on Albion Vaughan Road. His wife also was instrumental in preserving the historical elements of that home as it was incorporated into that community. As longtime residents of Bolton, we have a desire for sustainable and responsible development, and we feel that Mr. Mora's development is just that. He is taking a large tract of the forest behind the property and turning it over to the Toronto Region Conservation Authority, so that the town maintains its green space and natural habitat. Therefore, I'd like to just respectfully ask that you consider approval of his application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Be sure to sign in. Let's come forward. Just come on. We don't speak out. This is a formal public meeting. Go ahead. Please state your name.
Only for you. I'm kidding. Chair DeBoer, my name is Sherry Roshi, and I am a resident of Bolton. So I just have a couple of questions in regards to understanding a few things. We went through a conformity exercise, official plan amendment 226, and a regional official plan amendment 24, which was adopted by the region back in 2010. My question to staff right now is, in that OP and OPA, Bolton got infill. Could you please clarify to me what that infill population number was designated within the boundary Bolton secondary plan?
Peggy, do you...
Through you, Chair DeBoer, I'll have to go and look that number up. I wasn't expecting that question, so I'll have to look that up.
Okay, so we'll get that as part of the report.
Well,
Chad,
I kind of need it now because it pertains to further questions. So how do we not know our OP?
I'm sorry. I will have to look that up. I don't have that information in front of me.
Yeah, it is the applicant's meeting.
It's so. Part of. So we come here as the public to ask questions, to get clarity, to further ask questions. I would hope that our staff and council have the answers when public comes to ask these questions.
Okay, we don't have that answer for you.
So through Chair DeBoer, she can submit her questions and we can respond to her.
Yeah, but not publicly and not on the record, and that's my concern.
So the questions and any questions that we receive will be part of the public report.
I believe it's 1,700. It's in around there. But anyway, so my next question is with all the infill applications that we have on the go right now in Bolton, where do we sit, not including this application for the 35 units? Are we at the 2031 cap for that population allocation? Are we not at that cap?
Would you be able to even
Through you, Mr. Chair, no, we have not hit the 2031 population allocation for Bolton as of yet.
So if you're going to say that, then you know where we are, correct? And we know that the cap number for the 2031 population allocation within the OP, I'm not understanding, sorry. I'm not trying to be a goof here, I'm just, planning is planning and we should know our OP.
So through you, Chair DeBoer, when the application came forward, staff did check with policy staff, and I think it actually states in here that we did have population for this application. We don't have the specific details of every application within Bolton to find out what's left. If you like that, I can send that in a separate email.
Yes, please do so. So moving forward to this particular application, when we were doing our official plan and our Caledon zoning bylaw, which is the whole zoning bylaw, and if this application was part of the population allocation for the 2031 population allocation, why was this not changed from a state residential to the density that this applicant is asking for?
Through you, Mr. Chair, as per the official plan policies, if development is proposed within this area being the residential special area, the applicants are required to make a comprehensive submission, an OPA zoning bylaw amendment, as well as a draft plan of subdivision. So that's what they have submitted today.
That's exactly what they've submitted today, but that's not my question. So if you could answer my question, it would be greatly appreciated.
So it wasn't automatically changed to this designation. So each application as it comes forward has to go through the planning process to get the approvals to develop in this area. It wasn't an automatic.
So then why do we do an official plan change a conformity exercise to allocate population to the 2031 her planning horizon, and we're going to do that again to the 2041 planning horizon? We have to bring our official plan in conformity. We also have to bring the zoning within conformity. Why didn't we do it back then? Why are we doing it now? Because what's the problem is this. Right now it's zoned for state residential, right? Which is how many units in our official plan designated for that 3.33 hectares. Actually, I believe it's only 1.54 hectares for residential use. It's two, right?
And that would be
through you, Chair DeBoer.
Yeah,
sorry.
And that would be why they've got to go through an OPA and a rezoning, because they're asking for more than what currently exists. So this is the public having their input, and this is the process that we have to go through to do exactly that. If it was done prior to it, when the OP was done, then we wouldn't even be looking at it.
Correct. And on top of all that, you're 100% right, and I support that. But the problem is the fact that you go through an exercise, money spent, staff time, reports, consulting to the public to create an official plan, and you can't protect it. So the question is, are you going to protect it? Because there is new population coming down, and there is other areas that development can happen. But we're constantly inflowing. Now, here's why I have a massive concern with this. In the paperwork on your application, it talks about overland. There's a problem with the TRCA lands, and it's overland. We all know what we just went through with drainage in March of 2019. I'm not going to get into that. But the TRCA has clearly stated that there's an issue. So my question to the applicant is, I'm not sure if you are aware of what happened back in March of 2019 in our community, but the overland flow of water is a big issue. Slope instability is Bolton. It used to be a lake. So we got big problems. So my question to you is, are we going to peer review this as Caledon? And if so, is the public part of that process?
All of the information that has been submitted on to support this application will be peer reviewed. Just so everybody knows, this is very early on in the application process. Once an application is complete, which means all of the studies that staff have asked for are complete and the applicant has provided them to the town, we move to having a public meeting like tonight. The community comments fit in very early on to it. We would, in some cases, like to have had comments back from all the agencies that review all these plans. But what that happens is then if the community has comments, they don't fit into them early enough in the process. So all of the reports that have been submitted are available on the internet, on the website of the town. The comments from the agencies when they review the plans will also be on the internet, on the town website. So those comments will all be there, and there's a contact information, or the information from the staff member in charge will be there. So if you see something that you want more information with, I encourage you to contact that staff member to ask for information when these reports are peer reviewed, so that you can gather more information.
So based on that, Councillor DeBoer and Chair of the meeting and all of rest of Council and to the applicant, I'm going to formally stand here and ask for a second public information meeting. So we do have an opportunity to read the peer reviews. We do have an opportunity to read other stuff. And if there's any further questions from the residents of Bolton or surrounding areas, that we do have that opportunity on the record.
Okay, we have had, I don't know if Chad can comment or promise a second meeting once all information is there, but staff will ask the applicant and Chad as part of the comments tonight whether they will whether they will offer another meeting. We can't make him. He probably has to talk to his.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But
we will ask that.
Could you okay? So that communication. Mm-hmm. Could you also then? I don't think it would be you personally, but staff email me to let me know that question be answered, yes or no.
That question will be answered. We can send it to you, but we will also be posting if there's another meeting.
Perfect.
It will go on the website.
That'd be great. Awesome. So I have one final comment.
But it will be up to the applicant to decide.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm going to formally ask the applicant, considering what Councillor DeBoer has said, the chair through you, Councillor DeBoer, to the applicant. As Councillor DeBoer has stated, that there is peer review reports that are going to be coming up, blah, blah, blah. In all fairness to the residents of our community, I think it's to work collaboratively together as a team, be open in the planning process. It would be fair for a second PIM to happen in order for the people to understand what is really going on, because it's early in the process, like Councillor DeBoer said. I'd appreciate that on behalf of the residents.
Well, you do have two options. You can have it in an official format here, or you can actually do it as a community meeting, notifying through staff all the people that are
there. I think a PIM, it's on the record, and the people know that. That'd be great. I'd appreciate it. Thank you. So parking is the next thing. Through you, Councillor DeBoer, to staff, what is the rule of thumb for parking for these units? I know there's smaller unit, like a one-car garage, and then there's the larger ones that have a two-car garage.
Chad, what is the parking requirement for this area, and are you proposing
I asked
a
you to ask through you
well,
to staff.
Yeah, no, Chad.
On ROP and zoning.
Well, Chad,
the applicant is one thing, but I want to know what ours is,
Chad,
please.
Chad has the information for, and if he's asking for something different. Chad?
We're not proposing a change to the current town standard for a single detached unit, which is two spaces per unit. So the 30-foot units will have a garage plus a space in the driveway. The larger, the 40-foot units will have a two-car garage and then two spaces in the driveway. So we're proposing a minimum of two spaces per unit.
Yes, he is correct, but that's not what I asked. I asked what our, in our official plan and our zoning, what is Caledon's requirements.
Yeah. Two spaces per unit for this type of development.
Is that coming from staff or the applicant?
The applicant knows what our standard is as well. And it's
but Chad's he's proposing
meeting.
The change.
He's not proposing a change.
He just said that.
Chad,
to
will you clarify?
We are not proposing a change to the zoning for...
Okay, so can you pull up your site plan on there for me, please? No. Yeah. Can we? So from what I'm understanding, from what I'm reading, the dark orange are the 30-foot lots, and the yellow are the 30 bigger lots. Am I understanding that correctly, reading your site plan?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is that the smaller ones is a single-car garage with one in the garage and one on the driveway platform. That's your two parking spots, correct?
Correct.
And then you're telling us in the yellow ones that it's a two-car garage, so two cars in the garage and two cars on the driveway. So that's four.
Correct.
Is that what you're proposing?
That's correct.
Okay, so now my question is, through you, Chair DeBoer, with this amount of units, does this meet the requirement for parking within our official plan and zoning bylaw to staff?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, it does. Our zoning is two parking spaces per detached dwelling. That's a minimum. In this case, the applicant is proposing to exceed that.
On the bigger lots. Okay, thank you so much. There's a sidewalk, if I remember reading the site plan, on the northerly part. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Chad?
Yeah, that's our current proposal, yeah.
Okay, and not on the southerly side?
That's correct. That's our current proposal.
Okay, so these 30-foot lots are probably going to be your starter home, pending on how much they are, because that's a huge issue in the GTA right now, not just Caledon, with young kids. So my question to you, Councillor DeBoer, and I'm not too sure who you want to direct this to, these kids will grow up and they will obtain vehicles. So now the question is, where do we put them?
I'm not sure whether anybody can answer that. We'll have to ask Chad, we'll have to ask staff to include that in the response.
Yeah, because I think we need to start thinking long term. And here's my reason why I say this, because if it's going to be a young family going in there like I was, I won't tell you how many years ago, when I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, I knew that they were going to eventually obtain a car. So I refused to buy a house that I couldn't put four cars on a driveway. I happen to be a bigger picture thinker, possibly, but the problem is that when I wasn't looking at $600,000-$800,000 for a home either. So I would ask that any developer sitting in this room and Caledon Council and members of public and staff, we need to start thinking a little bit on the long-term side. We do have a problem with parking already. Let's not add fuel to that fire, if I may ask that. Thank you. I look forward to the answers.
Thank you. We don't applaud. Thank you. Next, please. Sherry, did you sign in? Sherry.
Hello, Allison Jurius.
Yes.
I have a property that's contiguous with this on 184 Old King Road, and I'd like to say that I don't have children. And yes, our road, that steep driveway where everyone's throwing the garbage, is on my property, and it makes me crazy. And yes, I also clean up Old King Road. But I know families need smaller dwellings, and we need places where they can live. We don't need any more 3,500 square foot houses. And yes, we need to think long term, but I think the long term thinking that we need to do is public transit. I don't want families to own four cars. We need to think ahead, but think ahead differently. And smaller homes are it. And I was pleased to see these smaller homes and hope that people will move into them, and I think they will. And As for seniors, they actually need the stairs to stay healthy. If they can't do stairs, they're probably not thinking about owning a home. So I believe that smaller development, smaller homes, more compact, and long-term thinking is needed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just sign in, please.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
My name is John Pellegrini. I live at 90 Cool Spring. Just a question to you, to what I'm understanding that the gentleman put forth. So there will be no entry going westward on Nunville Road going west anywhere, either on Hubert Corliss, no entry, or Riverwood Terrace. Yeah. That's not proposed or in the plans at all and never will be?
In terms of our application, we don't need any further access beyond the access to Nunville. And then with the intersection at Albion Vaughan Road, we're not proposing any future intersection improvements.
So either by way of emergency for fire or for water flood, whatever the case is, in this plan, there's nobody asking to enter going west on Nunville Road to reach Highway 50. That's not in the plans at all?
Chad?
We don't have the full comments from the municipality. The preliminary comments that are in the staff report don't speak to anything of that nature, but it's not anything that we are proposing at this time.
Could it arise, and has it arisen in the future down the road, that that could be enforced on the plan, that eventually you'll have to cut westward to join them for any reason at all?
If there were staff comments, and it would be emergency services that would comment to that. It
and
would
we're not
be,
there yet?
We're not to that point. They will be commenting back on the application. I don't know, Lalani, have emergency services staff given any preliminary comments?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, we have received comments from Fire and Emergency Services. They have not indicated a need to access through Hubert Corliss. The only comment is to ensure that there's pressurized fire hydrants within the subdivision.
Okay.
Okay, finally, thank you for that. And this would be voted on, I guess, after all the reports come in?
This will be it'll actually be after a couple of rounds of reports. Usually these applications take a couple of rounds to get all of the reports completed. And if you are on that sheet outside, you will be notified of information. And there will also be a website that has information that can keep you as to when this will come before council again or when there's a next meeting.
Thank you. And finally, just as a personal note, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful road that we're talking on, and we understand development's a part of progress. But if you could keep it small, the people that have certainly spoken before me of how beautiful it is, and I used to walk my dog all the time there, and it's just beautiful. Keep it that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Come forward, please. Hi, state your name, please.
Good evening. My name is Bob Scalciotis. I live on Riverwood Terrace. I'm here as a concerned resident. A lot of these points that were brought up for pros and cons, I support. It makes a lot of sense. The only thing I have concern is the traffic. We will need a light at the end of Nunville Road. There is a lot of wildlife in the area. The other concern that I have, because it is affecting me on Riverwood Terrace, is there's a boulevard on Nunville Road where there's a set of trees, tree line. If we're estimating about 100, say 80 to 100 people, a lot of people will be crossing over that boulevard to make it a shortcut to go into the core of the town, which is where the malls are. Giant Tiger, Scotiabank, BMO, all the stores. A lot of people will be walking over. We're already having a lot of people using that boulevard as a throughway, personally. People are walking, jogging, ATM machines, scooters.
ATVs?
Yep. Trees are being damaged. Just last month, we had pine trees replaced last year, and the support sticks were broken by kids. I'm assuming kids. I can't verify that, but it was broken. I had to call the town, Public Works, to get the sticks removed because the sticks were about 16 inches high as a spike, very dangerous. We're having a lot of drug issues at the very end of Riverwood Terrace. And right now, we've called OPP about three times in the last 10 days in regards to paraphernalia, drugs, condoms, empty beer cans. So with that amount of traffic and people, that boulevard will be damaged. Trees are being constantly replaced. So that boulevard is a concern because it is a green, it's a small green belt, if you want to think about it. And with all those people, they are going to be using that as a throughway. That has to be addressed as well.
Are you talking about the piece between the two streets, between Nunnville at the end of the...
At the end of Riverwood Terrace.
Riverwood Terrace. It's on that picture right there, and it's a little piece in between.
And those trees are being constantly damaged by people going through there.
Okay.
People's on bikes, snowmobiles.
Right here.
That is an issue. And, again, drugs and the OPP is investigating the area. In the last 3 months, 3 weeks, there's been minimum 3 calls.
Okay. Staff have heard that... the acting CAO is going to mention that to the OPP when they're back tomorrow.
Okay.
And if you could sign in, Bob, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Rick Geiger. I do not live on Nunnville Street, but my property ends adjacent to Nunnville. And as Bob was saying there, my concern is being there for the last 3.5 years, almost 4 years, I've witnessed a tremendous amount of traffic on Nunnville from young kids hanging out between periods of school, going in and out fast, stopping at the side, like Bob said, with the tree lines. In my property, they cut through onto my driveway. They leave their drug paraphernalia on my property. I've taken the time to clean up all the branches, all the garbage, and it's an ongoing concern that if you put in 35 homes with a whole bunch of young families, and as their kids grow up, they're not going to hang out in their own streets. They're going to go outside their streets. They're going to go along that tree line, and they're going to continue to do whatever they choose to do, whether it be drugs, drinking, smoking, anything they don't want their parents to catch them doing. And that's a huge concern if we increase the amount of traffic and population going through there. And that's my concern with that.
Okay.
And I support the people of Nunnville.
Okay, thanks. Just make sure you do sign in, please. Thanks. Yes, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Peter Canali. I live at 13290 Nunnville Road. And happy to say we moved in there 18 years ago. And when I drove down Nunnville to this property that I was going to purchase, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before other than being in Muskoka. So we purchased the property, and it was fantastic. And we've gone through the development of Bateman Lane, and we've gone through the drugs and paraphernalia. There's nobody in this room knows better than I do, because I'm right at the end of the court where the walkway is, where they turn the road into the walkway. And it's not maintained, but I have cleaned up that area so many times with drug paraphernalia, and I've actually kept it all and reported it to OPP. And they, you know, you can't stop kids from going down there. They even tunneled the way into Jonathan's property, where they had a little sofa down there where they used to smoke their drugs and hang out. So the kids do come around my neighborhood, around in that court. They huddle around the court, and many times my wife and I will come in around like 9-10 o'clock, and they're in the car smoking pot. So that's and you know what? And you're gonna put more homes, more people into this neighborhood. I can just see disaster. But I would like to make a suggestion. I don't know what I have to do. Maybe you can tell me what to do. I would like to make a proposal to close off that walkway. That way the city doesn't have to maintain it. Just get rid of it. Put trees, block it off. Because the skidoos come up that hill. And I put a big, on my property, I put a big round cylinder of concrete for them to, and you know, it stopped it. But no, hardly anybody uses that walkway. Why is it there?
Okay. Well, we can find out about that.
Yeah,
I know Councillor Groves hears exactly what you're asking, and I'm sure she will be looking into it.
I would like that, yeah.
Tony will also follow up with that comment.
That would be great. That would
yep.
be fantastic. Okay. I want to clarify something here, because they're saying that they want to change the zoning to a residential designation from a state residential. Now, I have an estate residential. If they build these 35 homes and it's not zoned as an estate residential, does my property still stay as a state residential, or does it go into residential and I can build 10 houses on it?
This application will only be for these two properties. So
you can have mixed? How
yes.
can you have mixed?
That is part of what we're doing right now, is that they made an application to change the zoning on these properties to allow for this development. Right now, the property is a state residential. The comments that you're making, the comments the staff will be reviewing, and all of the work that's gone into the project will deem whether it's appropriate, the change that they're suggesting. So right now, it is a state residential. Your property will remain a state residential unless you want to do exactly the same process to potentially ask for a change. Does that kind of give you an idea of how that all works?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I agree with a lot of the issues yep. brought forth here. The majority of people, I feel, are against this project or this amendment,
yep.
and I'm with that. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Did you want to speak, sir? Okay. You can't stand in the door unless you want to speak. Okay. Okay, any members of the council, any members of council want to ask any questions? Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair. Through you to the applicant. I'm not sure if you answered this question, but I heard grinder pumps raised by a resident here. So do you have enough sewer capacity to handle the development?
Chad?
Through the chair, we're not proposing any grinder pumps. It'll be gravity fed as part of the new sewer that's going into detailed design right now.
Okay, thank you.
No. No, you, the format of the meeting, no, you cannot, but you can speak to the applicant outside afterwards, or staff member will be also outside that you can ask their questions to them. Okay? Sorry. We do have two more after this one. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And the intersection, already you heard a number of comments from folks regarding that intersection. Albion Vaughan Road is really at capacity right now. There are a lot of trucks that use Albion Vaughan Road. It's a little difficult for the folks that live on Nunville to get out onto Albion Vaughan if they're going left or right. Do you have any plans to signalize that intersection?
During the open house, we certainly heard a lot of concerns about that and are certainly sympathetic to it. As part of the application, as currently designed and proposed, we're not proposing any changes to the intersection. Certainly look forward to hearing feedback from staff and the traffic study in terms of if there's any other things that need to be done. But as part of our application, there's nothing that's needed to be changed in order for the development to move ahead as currently proposed.
And it's not just the intersection. If you look at the topography of the road, there's a big hump over there, and it's a little difficult to see the oncoming traffic. So hopefully you're going to address that in your traffic impact study.
We can take that back and certainly review the site distances to that intersection. We do certainly appreciate the curve and the slope down as part of it at that location.
Right, okay. The TRCA, I know that they were concerned about the stormwater and the 10-meter buffer, which I didn't see that on your plan. So are you planning on including the 10-meter buffer for quality control for the stormwater pond?
So as part of the applications currently submitted, there's an overland flow route to deal with the major storm drainage. We'll look at the comments that come in to make sure we meet the TRCA town and region stormwater management comments. With respect to the 10-meter buffer from the natural heritage area, that's actually the light green on the figure, and that's proposed to not be developed. Their comments dealt with the zoning for that and just sort of make sure that it's in the right category.
Yeah, I just read in there that they were identifying that there was no 10-meter buffer showing and that they were concerned about the quality for the stormwater pond. So as long as you're going to address that, and I'm sure TRCA will have a final comment on that.
We'll address that. It's part of our plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Groves? Yes. Councillor St. Clair?
Yes, thank you. I had a question about the large natural area or EPA area to the north of the proposed housing. Who will own that at the end if it's approved?
Through you, Mr. Chair, through TRCA's comments, they have requested dedication into TRCA ownership for the buffer and the EPA lands.
And how will those lands be accessed?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that was a comment that TRCA did have, is to ensure that they do have access to those lands through the subdivision somehow. That needs to be sorted out with them and through their comments.
All right. And certainly parking has been raised by several speakers. And I guess I'm interested in what happens if someone decides to have the family over or a dinner party and you need to park on the street. Is there sufficient parking between houses and laneways to accommodate on-street parking in this proposal?
Chad?
So as part of this, we did actually, it's in the hall, we did provide an updated parking plan. I believe there's 11 on-street parking spaces on one side of the street. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. But it is a public right-of-way, so it's different than Bateman Lane, as an example, which is just a private condo lane. So there is street parking. One of the things we've done is we've sort of tried to pair the driveways so you have space between the driveways for parking. That's something we considered as part of the design to provide on-street parking.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Rosa?
I as well had the same question about on-street parking, especially for visitors, so thank you for answering that. I do want to echo as well my concerns about getting onto the Albion Vaughan line off of Nunville. It is a very concerning issue. I find it extremely challenging currently. I do have friends that live there, and I've actually accessed the road myself, and it is a challenge, and I think that's something we need to dig deeper in, and I challenge you to take a closer look at that, both on the developer side and also on staff side, because I do believe it is a concern that needs to be addressed, and it is a safety issue, and I find it currently challenging. I worry about what it will be like if this moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a couple of questions, Chad. With regards to, and I'm thinking that the one resident with the grinder pumps, they have that probably to get hooked into the sewage system somewhere. Will there be an opportunity for the residents of Nunville to access the sewage connection? It will be going south, I believe, down Nunville, correct?
That's correct. That's more of a Region of Peel question, unfortunately, because they're building the sewer. I don't know if Jim can provide...
I guess it's...
I don't have their full comments on that. I know they've confirmed that for our local street and the connection to the sewer is fine,
yeah.
But I can't speak to the other connections on that.
Was there any comments that the region...
Through you, Mr. Chair, the Region of Peel identified that through the new sewer trunk connection there will be capacity for this subdivision, and they'll be working with the applicant to ensure that there is connection from these new houses to the new trunk sewer. I can't speak to any new connections from existing houses. The Region of Peel should be contacted if any individual landowners wish to ask about that.
Okay. And with regards to the lands to be dedicated to TRCA, my question, and I don't need an answer today, but whether it would be appropriate for those lands if there's no... I guess, environmental feature that the TRCA would be interested if this is a parcel of land that could be part of the town of Caledon's infrastructure and parkland dedication, but I would leave it up to discussions similar to what some of the lands around Caledon East that we're talking about. So I would leave that with staff to see if there's where the best home is for that. Councillor Groves?
Thank you. Sorry, I just have one more question. With regards to the resident that raised the grinder pump, she lives right in front of the development, and the concern that she has is with the erosion and the water flow, because currently the water is flowing down this way. There's a retaining wall. The retaining wall has shifted, so the water is going in between, and actually this is why Peter calls me all the time to tell me that the water is pooling over there. So how are you going to address that?
It's probably best, because I want to sort of understand the specific area and sort of where the drainage is going. It's probably best we have a sort of a conversation outside.
Okay, so
we can understand that and then go from there.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. My suggestion would be is that you do actually meet some of these residents on the street there to look at some of those outstanding issues. I want to thank everyone for taking the time out of your day to show an interest in your community. Do make sure that you sign up on the sheet outside. We'll recess for 5 minutes to allow the room to change over. Website is the location for information on this application. It is very early in the process and nothing has been approved. Thank you very much. Please have a seat. We will now move into the second public meeting for this evening, and that's for official plan amendment, zoning bylaw amendment, 4 Walkers Road, Ward 3. I will now ask Mary Nordstrom, Senior Planning Development West Community Services, to confirm that, that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting this evening.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, notification of this meeting was published in the Caledon Enterprise and Caledon Citizen on October 24th, 2019, and notice was mailed to all landowners within 120 meters, and signage about this meeting was posted on the property, all in accordance with the Planning Act.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nordstrom. I now call upon Sarah Gregory, Weston Consulting, to begin her presentation. Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you've said, my name is Sarah Gregory. I'm here with Weston Consulting. We're the planning consultant on behalf of the owner of 4 Walker Road West. I'm here today to present a little bit about this project and get some feedback from councillors in the community as well as planning staff about the application itself, and we'll take that back and take that into consideration moving forward. And of course, no decisions are being made today. To give you a little bit of a status update as to where we are, we've been working with a team of expert sub-consultants to prepare this application. Applications for official plan amendment and zoning bylaw amendment, as well as site plan approval, were submitted on August 30th and deemed complete in September, and we've begun to receive comments from the circulated agencies, and we'll take those into consideration as well moving forward. To give you a bit of context about the site's about 990 square meters, or 0.24 acres in area, with a frontage of about 40 meters along Walker Road West and 25 and a half along McCaffrey's Lane. It's rectangular in shape and top flat in its topography, and was previously occupied by a vacant single detached dwelling, which has since been demolished. Property is located on the south side of Walker Road West, east of its intersection with McCaffrey's Lane. It's generally surrounded by stable residential land uses in the form of 1 to 2 story single detached dwellings. North and generally east of the site is Airport Road, where there are some neighborhood commercial uses fronting onto the street. Property is located within the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan, where it's designated a settlement area. Settlement areas are planned to focus and contain urban growth and growth that will support the development of a complete community. Permitted uses within these settlement areas are in accordance with the local official plan. Peel Region official plan designates the subject property within the Rural Service Center, where it's within the rural system. It's in the Caledon East Rural Service Center, which is intended to serve as one of the primary focus areas for growth, development, and intensification, and a range of mix of uses and activities are permitted. Under the Town of Caledon official plan, similar to the Peel Region official plan, the property is located within the Caledon East Rural Service Center, as well as under the Caledon East Secondary Plan, where it's designated low-density residential. This land use designation permits residential uses to a maximum density of 16.6 units per net hectare, and an official plan amendment is required to permit a slight increase to this maximum density. Under the zoning bylaw, the zone is rural residential, or the RR zone, which permits, similar to the OP, a variety of residential land uses. A zoning bylaw amendment application has been submitted to seek relief from certain site-specific provisions of the zoning bylaw. To give you a rundown on the proposed development, the proposal will be to sever the property into 2 lots for the construction of 2 single-detached dwellings. Lot 1 is located at the intersection of Walker Road West and McCaffrey's Lane. It's about 573 square meters in area with a frontage of 21.55 meters along Walker Road West and 25.45 meters along McCaffrey's Lane. The gross floor area of the 4-bedroom dwelling is about 288 square meters, which is an FSI on the site of 0.5 times the lot area. Lot 2 is located north of Lot 1 and is about 420 square meters with 18.63 meters of frontage along Walker Road West. The 4-bedroom detached dwelling is about 259 square meters of gross floor area with an FSI of 0.62 times the lot area. As I've mentioned, this has an overall net density of 20.13 units per hectare, which has necessitated the official plan amendment. To justify the official plan amendment and zoning bylaw amendment to ensure that it's an appropriate use for this site, we've done a land use compatibility analysis for the surrounding area. We took a sort of study area of blocks in the immediate vicinity that have similar patterns of land use and evaluated them based on land use compatibility, building height and massing, block and lotting patterns, and architectural design. In terms of land use compatibility, the surrounding area is characterized by low-rise residential properties. The proposed development is compatible with the predominant residential character of the immediate area, as they are two single detached dwellings. In terms of the block and lotting pattern, the proposed development is a rectilinear lot shape, and the area in frontage of the property is within sort of the range of the areas of the property in the surrounding area, which range from about 400 square meters to 700 square meters, along with the frontages, which are quite varied and range from 11 meters to 53 meters. In terms of the architectural characteristics, we had our team take a very close look at the design of the surrounding area properties and have kept a consistency in terms of height and the sort of building footprint of the property, the roof shape, and the materiality of the buildings in the surrounding area. And then in terms of the submitted applications, the draft official plan amendment, as I've said, is a site-specific amendment to permit a maximum net density of 20.13 units per net hectare, which is above the permitted 16.6. And the draft zoning bylaw amendment implements the proposed OPA, and it seeks relief from certain site-specific provisions of the zoning bylaw within the RR zone, including the minimum lot area, building area, front, rear, and side yard setbacks. In terms of next steps, we're going to be, as I said, working closely with the town, circulated agencies, and nearby residents to receive their comments and respond to them accordingly. And, of course, I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. If you want to sit up here at this microphone, are there any members of the public here this evening who wish to state some comments, make some comments or concerns? No? Are there any members of council who wish to ask any questions of the applicant? No? Okay, thank you very much. I close this public meeting and now move to the public meeting for zoning bylaw amendment, site plan amendment, 0 Coleraine, 1230 Coleraine Drive, 12400 Coleraine Drive, 12592 Coleraine Drive, Ward 4. Now ask Mary Nordstrom, Senior Planner Development East Community Services, to confirm that the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for this public meeting, for the public meeting this evening.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Notice of this public meeting was published in the Caledon Citizen and the Caledon Enterprise on October 24, 2019, and mailed to all landowners within 120 meters of the subject site, and signage posted on the property, all in accordance with the Planning Act.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nordstrom. And I'll now call upon Jonathan Rudger for the beginning of your presentation.
Yes, good evening. My name is Jonathan Rudger from Zelinka Priamo Limited in the City of Toronto. We represent the applicants Bolt Coal Holdings North Inc., Bolt Coal Holdings South Inc., and Triovest Realty Advisors. I'm joined by Derek Boyne from Triovest this evening. A zoning bylaw amendment application was submitted for lands west of Coleraine Drive in Bolton within the Coleraine West employment area, which were rezoned for development under a town-initiated process. The bulk of lands, the entirety, are approximately 77 hectares in size. A portion of the bulk of lands of approximately 24 hectares is currently under development for industrial uses, comprised of three buildings with a total gross floor area of just under 119,000 square meters. The buildings are the first phase of the iPort Caledon development. According to Schedule C7 of the Coleraine West employment area, the portion of the Bolt Coal lands proposed for development are designated Prestige Industrial, General Industrial, and Environmental Policy Area. Under the official plan, where appropriate, and as permitted in accordance with the applicable regional, provincial and conservation authority policies, The refined development limit of the environmental policy areas will result in alterations, additions, eliminations, or relocations which will not require an amendment. Exact limits will be implemented through the zoning. Under the Town of Caledon Comprehensive Zoning Bylaw, the portion of the bulk coal lands proposed for development is zoned Prestige Industrial Exception 580, Serviced Industrial Exception 579, and Environmental Policy Area 1. A wide range of uses are permitted underneath the existing MS 579 and MP 580 zones. There is no special standard for parking requirements under either zone currently. The existing EPA 1 zone boundary, shown in blue on this zoomed-in site plan, is proposed to be shifted west, as shown in green, as a refinement of the EPA 1 zone lands resulting from additional environmental analysis, including by biologic, that a net gain is expected to the total area of protected habitat within the bulk coal lands, and by the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, resulting related to a satellite wetland that is not provincially significant. We note that the original stream feeding the Clarkway tributary corridor was diverted as part of the new east-west channel that was created along the northern property boundary of the bulk coal lands, and new habitat was created as a result of the channel. The proposed EPA refinement to support and enhance the natural heritage system is under review by the town, region, and TRCA staff. In addition, there are 279 vehicular parking spaces to the south of Building 1, shown in yellow on the plan up above, that are proposed, and whereas 537 spaces are required under the zoning bylaw. A zoning bylaw amendment is proposed for the portion of the subject lands from Environmental Policy Area 1 to Serviced Industrial Exception XX in order to refine the limits of the EPA 1 lands. In addition, the MS 579 and MP 580 lands are proposed to be rezoned to MS Special Exception and MP Special Exception for reduced parking standards for a warehouse use. There are no proposed changes to the existing permitted uses in the MS 579 and MP 580 zones. There are proposed special standards, which I've included up above, for a warehouse use related to the proposed minimum parking requirements under the proposed MS and MP special exception zones. So currently the parking requirement for Building 1 would be 537 spaces. The proposed parking requirement for Building 1 under the special standard would be for 273 spaces. And a parking study prepared by BA Group found that the proposed parking requirement is appropriate and sufficient to meet peak season demand for Building 1. And we're certainly available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you want to just take a seat
sure, of course.
There,
thank you.
And we'll see if there are any members of the public this evening who wish to make any comments or questions.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer, and my name is Sherry Baroshi, resident of Caledon. Can you pull up the site plan, please, or somebody? So I have a couple of inquiries. In the zoning bylaw, there is landscape setbacks, and I'm not seeing that on here. Could you comment on that, please?
Through the chair. So in terms of landscape setbacks, the green dash line would be the new limit of development. And then within there, there'd be landscaping on the west edge of the property. There's trailer parking that is proposed in that area. There'd be landscaping around that.
Okay, so through you, Councillor DeBoer, to staff, to Mary, we did talk about this, but I'm going to ask it again. Where is Coleraine on this map?
Yep, through you, Chair, Coleraine is along the bottom limit of the site plan. And the George Bolton expansion is along the left side.
So that square with the sides, that is going to be an intersection to George Bolton Parkway heading west. And the southerly part of that drawing
is Coleraine. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So can we go back to the zoning map? One more. Okay. So as we know, I just want to get this on the record, that in this employment lands process and the appeal to the minister's zoning order and the provincial facilitation and the minutes of settlement, I would like to know that the Prestige Industrial that everybody agreed upon, that's that dark purple facing Coleraine, is not going to change, or is it going to change?
You want to answer that, please?
Yeah, the only proposed change is the parking requirement, which would only affect building one because of the size of the building. So there's no changes to the proposed uses.
And building one is the one at the back of the
site. It's a very large building at the back, yes. Thank you.
Okay, so can we go back to where that green line is? Where the, okay, so where you're telling, that's on the top end, but that's not facing Coleraine. So where is your setbacks for the Coleraine landscaping? Or are we just going to have tractor trailers facing Coleraine?
If I can go back to the larger site plan, Coleraine Drive is along the south, along the bottom edge of the two longer buildings at the south end or at the east end of the site.
Okay, sorry, can you repeat?
I can grab a laser point. Is there a laser point?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Oh, okay, so Coleraine Drive goes here, north-south.
Yep.
This is the extension of George Bolton Parkway up here.
Yeah.
So in terms of Coleraine, there is landscaping proposed along Coleraine, which isn't a matter of the applications in terms of the rezoning.
But okay, but Coleraine is, that's Coleraine right there.
Coleraine here.
So where is the setback?
From Coleraine, there's a setback shown here along Coleraine that is proposed to be planned.
But what we're dealing with tonight is at the north, at the other side of the site.
This is dealing on the westerly. Oh, that.
This is unrelated to the applications.
It's the back property?
Show where you're dealing with it.
So there's the existing Clarkway tributary that goes to the west of the site here, and so it's on that edge of the property there. Within these lands here are all EPA 1, and so the in terms of the proposal, sorry, this is hard to move around.
No, it's okay. It was just very hard to see on the website what is what, because it's so, you can't read it. Like, you can't read it.
It's a very large site, and that's
okay. So here's my question. I don't know who can answer this. I don't think the applicant can. So through Councillor DeBoer, Chair DeBoer, to staff, the GTA West Corridor, new route, has a proposed interchange on Coleraine. Where is that interchange versus this particular site?
Do we have a slide about that? And then maybe that's a good question for the next presenter.
In terms of on this map here, the zoning schedule, you can see the diagonal line. That line there is the, that goes here, so I can use this again.
There you go.
This diagonal line here
is the boundary line for the employment lines.
Yes, on this side it's agricultural, on this side it's MS 579.
Yep.
The lands that are subject to the rezoning application are up here.
Yep.
They're completely removed from any...
No, if you look at the GTA West Corridor, which I have, there's a proposed interchange right on Coleraine.
Yes,
and they actually want to redefine Coleraine, redo it.
And that would be down in this location here.
So, which is within the employment lands. Right.
In terms of what the GTA West study has been showing, in terms of that would be down in this location here, approximately. The application itself
is up there.
Is
right.
For these lands,
so it's
up
the
here.
Lower part of the employment lands is where the possible interchange is. That's what you're telling me, right?
Not, yes. That
okay.
Does not
that's what I thought.
At all.
That's exactly what I thought, but I wanted clarification on that. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Any further members of the public who wish to ask or have any comments? Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Maybe you can just help me understand. So I'm looking at your diagram where the MP 580 zoning is. So you're going from MP 580 to MP exception. What does that mean?
Thank you.
So in terms of the rezoning, so there's essentially two parts. There's the EPA 1 area that's shown in this location here. Mm-hmm. That's proposed to be rezoned to MS special exception. And at the same time, the application is to rezone these lands here from MS 579 and these lands here from MP 580 to new site-specific zones, where all we're doing is adding in site-specific a parking requirement for buildings over 20,000 square meters.
Okay. And your two industrial buildings just south of that, do you have any proposed uses for those?
In terms of speaking of these two buildings here, the tenants of those buildings have not been confirmed at this time, but certainly, again, there's no changes in terms of the permitted uses in those zones. It's just related to the parking requirements for the large building.
I understand that. So I would like to be notified, and maybe through the planning department, Mr. Chair, once you have confirmed who the tenants will be in those two industrial buildings just facing Coleraine.
Okay.
Good.
That's it?
Yep.
Councillor St. Clair.
Yes, thank you. On the slide you have up there, I think you've got a large stormwater management pond off to the upper left. And is that sized for just this proposal, or will there be other buildings and surfaces draining into that?
You have to come forward if you're going to add to the conversation. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Hi, my name is Derek Wyman with Truvest Realty Advisors, the development managers for this. That swim pond has been sized for the roughly 200 acres of development. It basically takes it down to
Yankees.
Par, roughly. So,
all right.
Which
now,
is, sorry?
From Coleraine on the bottom up to the top, is that proposed to be a future George Bolton Parkway extension?
In terms of the, sorry, I can sit down again here. In terms of the George Bolton extension, that would be following this there, and it currently would end with a bulb here, a cul-de-sac, and that's the extension there. George Bolton goes east-west here.
So in the future then, it just looks to me with a dark gray shape there coming off the corner of the traffic circle, that the entire site is going to drain into that pond through there. Is there some easement that's going to be granted to the town to drain stormwater off your main site across to the pond? How is that going to work?
Through you, Chair. The new George Bolton extension, which we're constructing and be dedicating to the town, the overland flow from that gets collected and is draining into the swim pond along with all the other sites.
That's the roadway. What about your buildings and
buildings
parking
also
area?
Drain into the swim pond.
So that's going to go under George Bolton Parkway at some point?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's been part of how it's been designed through and the town's staff has commented.
Next question concerns climate change, and how have you designed the project or will design the project to take into consideration carbon neutral or reducing heat in the urban areas? Has there been any consideration of climate change in the design yet?
These are more probably site plan questions, but we have created some sustainability initiatives. There are some infiltration chambers within the site to control the flow into the pond. We've done a fair amount of enhancements. I think there was a discussion earlier on where there's a, to the north, there's a new channel that was created, a 45-meter wide channel that we were active with the TRCA on, and it's become a bit of a, it's become a bit of a postcard for how to actually enhance the habitat in there, the between the fish habitat, frogs, and the vegetation that's now growing in that area. So,
all right, then. Thank you.
Thank you. I see no further questions. I now close this public meeting, and we'll move on to presentations. Thank you very much for taking an interest in your community. The next presentation, or this presentation, will be a call upon Luke's Grobel, Senior Project Manager, Ministry of Transportation, Jim Dowell, Consultant Project Manager, WSP, to provide a presentation regarding the GTA West Corridor route planning and EA study. Hold the questions until the presentation is concluded. And as per the procedure bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lucas Grobel, Senior Project Engineer at the Ministry of Transportation, and I'm here today with Jim Dowell from WSP to provide you with an update on the GTA West study, specifically focusing on the new information that was presented at our recent Public Information Center. I will be going through the slides fairly quickly, but would be happy to revisit any of these during the question period. As you know, in June 2019, the government announced that the GTA West study would be resumed from the point of suspension in December 2015. And with this news, the Northwest GTA Corridor Identification Study was discontinued, and the Ministry of Energy, Northern Development and Mines, along with the Independent Electricity System Operator, initiated a separate study to identify an adjacent electricity transmission corridor. Taking a step back, the GTA West study is being done in two stages, following the terms of reference that was approved by the Minister of the Environment in 2008. Stage one was a long-term multimodal transportation strategy, with the recommendations including optimizing the existing transportation network, improving non-roadway transportation modes, widening existing highways, and a new transportation corridor. Stage one concluded that even with the other recommendations, a new transportation corridor was still required to meet the future travel demand. And stage two focuses on that new multimodal transportation corridor, looking at a study area extending from Highway 400 in the east to the Highway 401-407 ETR interchange in the west. And that study area is outlined in that diagram on the page there. So the need for the GTA West study remains and is strengthened by the Greater Golden Horseshoe population and employment growth forecasts, reflecting more people and jobs by 2041. The GTA West project team is committed to an open and transparent process that provides opportunities for all stakeholders to help shape the outcome of the project. And the project team strives to arrive at a recommended solution that provides the best balance of benefits and impacts for the local communities and the users of the transportation system. And to accomplish this, we are committed to engaging with our municipal and agency partners in open two-way communication. The image on this page shows a cross-section of the corridor, which consists of a 4-to-6-lane controlled access highway with a 110-meter right-of-way and an adjacent transitway with a 60-meter right-of-way for a total of 170. And this is a typical cross-section that would differ at locations such as the freeway-to-freeway connections, interchanges, and bridge crossings. This diagram outlines the process used to evaluate the shortlist alternatives to arrive at the long list. Taking a look at where we are in red text, we presented the technically preferred route at Public Information Center number 2 and are currently reviewing and responding to feedback we received and are considering it as we work to confirm that technically preferred route by spring of 2020. And this image here shows the preferred route for the length of the entire corridor with the limits of Caledon shown in red right there. And now I'd welcome Jim to go through a section-by-section review for the areas in Caledon for the technically preferred route.
Thank you very much. Within the town of Caledon, we actually have four sections that we're going to be looking at. And this is the first one, it's section 3. Actually, the very top end of that exhibit is within the town of Caledon. This section will run from just north of the Credit River crossing in a northerly direction and terminates just north of Mayfield Road. We looked at five different alternatives through this area, and our preferred alternative was S3-4. Basically, the reasons that we chose this alternative are listed by the many points up there on the exhibit. Some of the more pertinent ones there are that it avoids impacts to the designated natural areas, particularly the Greenbelt. It connects well to the crossing of the Credit River in Section 2. It generally aligns with future land uses, and I think, as most people know, this is the Bram West area, and there's a lot of development proposed in that area, so we are generally in alignment with those land uses. And it also provides the best opportunity for an interchange at Coleraine Road to the south. Section 4 runs, again, more to the in an east-west direction. This will start just north of Mayfield Road and will run to a mid-block area between McLaughlin Road and here, Ontario. We looked at four alternatives in this section, and S4-1 was our preferred alternative. This alternative was preferred from the natural, land use, socioeconomic, cultural, and transportation perspectives, and those were the primary factors that we looked at. There were many, many sub-factors, but in overall terms, it was the most preferred from our major factors. It minimizes impacts to the watersheds and sub-watersheds, wetlands, woodlands, and designated areas, i.e. the Greenbelt, has the fewest direct residential impacts, and was the most preferred from an agricultural perspective, as it had the lowest overall impacts to agriculture in this area. Section 5, in essence, it was the consideration of how we were going to connect the Highway 410 to the GTA West. We looked at alternatives that considered using the existing alignment that runs to the west and then connects to the existing Highway 10 that runs north from there. We also looked at a new corridor that ran directly north from the main line of the existing 410. We actually looked at 12 alternatives in this section. We had four as to whether we were on the existing alignment, four as to whether we were on the new alignment, and then we also looked at alignments east and west of Heart Lake Road. So our preferred alternative was S510, which runs to the east of Heart Lake Road. This was preferred from land use, socioeconomic, and transportation perspectives. It minimizes impacts to fish habitat and the wetlands. It also minimizes impacts to the agricultural lands and to agricultural operations. It also minimizes impacts to the future urban development, including Mayfield West Plan Community and the Mayfield West Employment Lands, which are to the west of the current development. Section 6 will run from basically just mid-block between Dixie Road and Bramley Road to just west of Highway 50. We looked at four alternatives in this section, and our preferred alternative was S61. Again, this is preferred from the natural, land use, socioeconomic, and transportation perspectives. It has least impacts on fish and fish habitat, has low impacts on commercial and industrial properties and future development. It avoids impacts to the high investment farming operations, which were identified in the area. And we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes, but it also provides the opportunity for an interchange at Coleraine Road. So in having set a corridor for the GTA West, we looked at interchange alternatives. Our prime criteria was the connectivity to the arterial road system, as well as spacing for the interchanges. Our ideal or our proposed spacing is about 3 kilometers between interchanges. This is an overview of the total study area. We had 12 interchanges that serviced the arterial roads, and we had 4 interchanges that serviced the freeway to freeway connections. This is a zoomed-in look at the interchanges within the town of Caledon. Our first one, number 4, is at Mayfield Road. The next one is at Chincoosey. And we understand that Chincoosey is not a regional road. It's a local road. And there is some concern expressed by staff about the future use of Chinkuzi as a connection to the freeway. We will discuss that with staff and strategize as how best to manage that. Number six is the freeway to freeway interchange, and number seven is the existing interchange with at Mayfield Road for the current 410. The existing interchange at 410 will be converted to a full interchange with access to the north, and there'll be a freeway to freeway interchange at the GTA and Highway 410. The next interchange to the east is at Bramley Road. Again, Bramley Road is not an arterial road, and we understand that. And again, that will be a subject of conversation with staff. Moving to the east from there, we have an interchange at Airport Road, another one at the Gore Road, and finally an interchange at Coleraine. As a consequence of the public information centers we had, we've had to abandon the Coleraine Wood interchange as we showed it at the PIC. It's a long story, but the bottom line is that development had taken place for properties adjacent to Coleraine, and they were no longer available to us. So we are working with Peel Region staff, City of Brampton, and Caledon staff to look at alternatives at for Coleraine Road. The intent at this moment is to have an interchange at Coleraine Road. We're just working on new alternatives that will provide that connection. The GTA West corridor is also going to have a transitway. The transitway will allow bus operators to operate express buses between the stations, which will most likely be at the interchanges. As part of the transitway development, we'll be looking at alignment and cross-section, but we'll also be looking at station locations and establishing a footprint for the station locations so that we can protect property at those locations. Goods movement priority. We understand, particularly with the Region of Peel, that they have a goods movement strategy, and the good movement features that we're looking at would fit into that strategy. Primarily, we're looking at truck-only lanes will be carried forward. We're also looking at intelligent transportation systems, changeable message signs, real-time information that will be posted along the highway, as long as some geometric modifications to perhaps increase the length of speed change lanes or to make accommodations for the long combination vehicles. We'll also consider truck parking facilities and enforcement features such as weigh and inspection stations as part of the truck priority features. And at this point, I'll turn it back to Lucas, and he'll take us to the end of the presentation.
So the image on this slide shows the 2019 Focused Analysis Area, or FAA. The 2019 FAA is a zone surrounding the technically preferred route, and properties located within this area can be impacted by the GTA West Corridor, ancillary uses, or if refinements are made to the route. Properties located in the green area are not anticipated to be impacted by the technically preferred route, and although the Ministry of Transportation reviews all development applications within the study area, properties located within the green can proceed through the municipal planning process. And once the 2019 FAA is confirmed, over 60% of the lands within the study area will have been released from the area of interest. So we held Public Information Center 2 in three sessions on September 19th, September 26th, and October 3rd. And over those sessions, we had over 980 stakeholders attend and received 79 written comments, with many more received after those dates. Throughout all that, we received a mixture of both support and opposition for the technically preferred route, but the majority of input has been supportive. We're not going to go through all these point by point, but would be happy to revisit any of them in the question period. And just to further go into some of the comments from PIC, we also heard general support for the proposed transitway, support for the goods movement priority features that we're considering, and support for the focused analysis area and the continued release of lands from the area of interest. So our consultation process has three rounds, focusing on three key study milestones, which are selection of the or generation of the shortlisted routes, which was presented at Public Information Center 1, the selection of the technically preferred route, which was presented at Public Information Center 2, and we will present the preliminary design at Public Information Center 3. Along with that, we also have ongoing consultation with Indigenous communities, a variety of stakeholder advisory groups, meetings with landowners, and council presentations. Our project website and contact information is found below on the slide, and the project team can be reached at any time with that contact info. And just to really briefly highlight the next steps, so at this time, the project team is reviewing and responding to all the comments from the Public Information Center and meeting with Indigenous communities, advisory groups, and municipal councils. And in spring of 2020, we will be confirming the technically preferred route and the 2019 FAA, and then proceeding with preliminary design. We will then continue to meet with stakeholders and advisory groups as the study progresses and hold Public Information Center 3 in fall-winter of 2021 to present that preliminary design and a further reduced focused analysis area. And we anticipate submission of the EA to the Ministry of the Environment, Conservation, and Parks by the end of 2022. And that concludes our presentation, and we'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you want to join beside the microphone there, and then we'll just work from that spot. Okay? Councillor Innes, there is a memo, too, if somebody wants to also include, have it included as part of the discussion. Councillor Innes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucas and Jim. Nice to see you again. I was really hoping that when you started your presentation, you were going to say that you've reduced the timeline. So I'm going to repeat some of the things that I said at the Region Appeal for the benefit of my town colleagues here and the residents in the audience. So I will start with a timeline. As you're aware, we are working on our official plan, and knowing whether or not and where exactly a highway is going to go through is of great importance when we're doing our official plan. Smart community planning means that you put your industrial, commercial, employment lands adjacent to the highway and you build your residential out from there. And without knowing where that's going to be and if the province is even going to build the highway is of a concern. My other concern is that's an election year. Provincially. And I think that it would benefit all involved and all parties if a decision was made prior to their election year. My concern is that what we saw heading into the last election year, it was suspended, whatever that means, for however long, and it only further delayed the problems and the costs that we've already incurred. So while I'm glad that it's back on track and I appreciate the ministry's efforts, I would really once again push that we need to make those timelines even shorter. I will put a plea out to our staff to also be looking at the timeline that's provided and provide us with comments that we could share with the ministry on examples and how that timeline could be shortened. I know that you have regulations that you have to follow under the Planning Act and such, but I think that there is opportunities to expedite that timeline. The other thing is I want to say thank you for adding the transitway component. That was something that this council previously, as well as Region of Peel, and I know the Toronto and Regional Conservation Authority had requested that the province look at doing. When we're already in the midst of building, why wouldn't we put that component in? It's it makes sense, and as being part of the goods movement hub, that's a priority, so thank you for doing that. And just talking a minute about the goods movement hub, and the timelines, while we're getting pushback on some residents may or may not want the GTA West corridor, one of the concerns that we've brought forward is the fact that if we don't protect these lands now, the next logical location is actually through more environmentally sensitive lands than what we're currently proposing. So I just want to keep that in people's minds, that if this highway doesn't go here, you're looking at routes like Highway 9 that's going more into the Niagara Escarpment, more into the Oak Ridges Moraine, and more into the Greenbelt. And those costs are escalated, and we're doing damage to the environment. So that's one thing that I want to point out. And something that I also mentioned at the region was active transportation. And Caledon and Peel have been very involved in creating our active transportation plan, and I want to ensure that those north-south connectivity routes that we've been building into our infrastructure plans are made as part of this plan right from the beginning, and that it's not an afterthought, and we can make sure that people who are cycling or walking or whatever have the connectivity and the ability to use those interchange options and locations to actually continue to have that north-south access. So I know that's something that I mentioned before. And with regards to the Coleraine interchange, so the east side is the area that I represent. while there may be some difficulties in where we're putting this interchange, I think that it's definitely needed. This is our employment area, and what's more is that the Brampton's employment area is directly to the south. So this entire area is comprised of industrial commercial lands, and so an interchange in that area is needed, and it will take some work and planning with our staff as well as the region of Peel to make sure that that connectivity is the best. I know that while the one resident who commented earlier thought that this interchange went on the industrial lands, my view of it is actually most of it is predominantly in the proposed lands for urban boundary expansion, which is currently at LPAT. So that's something that we're going to have to continue to discuss and work through to make sure that those lands are serviced, and that may actually have an impact on that LPAT hearing as well. Which I know that your ministry is part of. So thank you for listening to me do my rant again, and thank you for coming to present. I think it's really important that it's great to see that how many residents we actually had out at the stakeholders meeting, and I'm going to continue to ask that we shorten that timeline, because for us to do our official plan and to do the proper planning that you guys are asking us to do, knowing whether or not a major highway corridor going through our community is going to happen or not is essential in that planning. So thank you.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Nice to see you both again. So I'm going to echo what Councillor Innes said with regards to the timeline. I think that we do need to have an earlier timeline as opposed to 2022. I do have a concern with the interchange at Coleraine and Mayfield where you're proposing it, because as you know, we do have development approved there by the Region of Peel, and Councillor Innes mentioned it's at LPAT. Years ago, when you guys were starting this GTA West corridor, we were told by Mr. Wang, who was the project manager at the time, that Caledon should just go ahead and do their planning and they will work with us. Obviously, you haven't worked with us because your alignment, your preferred route, is ripping right through our development in Mayfield West as well as Bolton. So I have a concern with that interchange, and maybe you might want to shrink it so that it goes a little more southerly and less of an impact on Europa 30. The other thing that I'm concerned with that interchange, we already have tons of trucks coming into Bolton, and if you have that interchange, you're just going to exasperate that even more, and there will be certainly spillover onto our town roads, which we can't handle that traffic. I'm going to disagree with Councillor Innes, because I think that this highway, really, you should either take it south or you should take it north and take it up to Highway 9. I don't think that this route benefits us at all. So that's my preference, is that interchange is removed entirely. And I certainly hope that you're working with our staff at the region on Roper 30, because it has a huge impact on Roper 30. It also has an impact on our industrial areas, and you heard tonight there are active applications in our industrial areas, and I'm afraid that this interchange may affect those applications and may affect our industrial lands.
Thank you for the comments, and I can confirm that we are working with staff from Caledon and will continue to do so. So we're working to identify all the constraints in the area, and we are looking to pick an interchange location that is mutually agreed upon by all the parties for the Coleraine interchange.
And I'm going to ask that you work with the staff at the Region of Peel as well.
We are as well, yeah. With Peel and Brampton.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Chair. Again, I'll apologize as well for a reiteration of my comments at the region. But I think it is incredibly important that while working through your ground truthing exercises piece by piece, that the fluidity of the agricultural properties is taken into consideration. Lots of our larger agricultural operations in the South End are not just one individual farm property on its own. There are multiple properties that work in conjunction with each other. You may have, you know, a large feedlot, but need multiple parcels of land to adequately observe your nutrient management plan, things like that. So these things have to be taken into consideration when we're looking at our the continuation of our agricultural operations, as well as the interchanges in detail for the movement of farm equipment, so on and so forth. I have a number of large commercial agricultural operations in the South End, including research facilities as well. All of these fall along your route, so I think a lot of detail needs to be paid close attention to that detail when going through those exercises. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, and tackle Councillor Downey. I do know you. I hope you use the same format that you used with the 407 and the 403 out towards the Brantford area where you did work with the farm community, not dividing the operations up. So I hope you use that same format going forward. And I know the farm community here will work with you, but we just can't have you going through the main home complex. People have a lot of money tied up. We have one particular farm, you know, it's just spent a fortune on robots to milk their cows and everything else. We, you know, to go through, it's a little disheartening. So we just got to make sure that you're not hitting these farm clusters as you're going through. So diligence, please, on that. Secondly, I know back previously when we had this study underway, the Region of York and the Region Appeal had worked with your study group, and we all combined our resources to all share on the EA. So that still stands, and nothing has expired on that because it's been a long time since 2008.
So I'm not sure, is that an agreement or was that?
Yeah, it was an agreement, and we as a town and as the region, we put a lot of money into these studies to work with it because these EAs and these whole environment accomplishment that you've gone through this whole area. And I know we worked with your counterparts before, but what it is it's this is good information data for our road expansion, our bridge, rebuilding and everything else. It's essential that we figure instead of doing all separate EAs and using the same consultants, why don't we all work together and do one new holistic approach? That's still in place, so even though this has been reenacted?
I'd have to check into the status of that because I'm not familiar, but we are committed to working with municipal staff on this project, so we will continue to do so.
I know that's a concern, and I know a lot of faces have changed in the in the last little bit, but I think that is something that I do know that was met, you know, when you met with Chair Cove, it was through Chair Fish back in the time and along with Gary, Chair Carr. So I know they all worked with that, so I just want to make sure that all the work and the taxpayers' dollars gone back in that we still have that understanding, MOU on that, and I want to make sure that we're all still working together on that same approach to complete this EA because it's essential for us. It was very disheartening when it was suspended because we all in good faith we don't know, you know, it's okay if you're not building the highway, but finish the EA because we've all put a lot of interest and a lot of effort into this. And I know Kent down here, I'll nod, knowing, you know, the whole story behind it, he's got the history to explain how we got here. And so we've got a lot of taxpayer dollars that we're accountable for, too, that there's good information that we want to get out of this environmental assessment that you're doing. So
thank you for the comments, and I will take that back.
Yeah, and the question I have, and originally if you go back to Ernie Eves when he was premier, they were looking at this and it was running basically for the possible 404 to the 400. It was going to link in the Keel Street Rail, and it was going to run right up through between Acton Limehouse through the old quarries and over to Guelph and down to Fort Erie, which made a ring road, and you had a rail system going with it. Is there any possibility that can be continued? Because right now, with the design where it lands down on the 401, you're coming into a parking lot. You know, some ways I even say it's almost a road to nowhere when you can't have a ring road, especially for the commerce and for the goods movement for the West GTA. You're coming through the farmland. I'd rather, if we're going to do it right, To me, it's like we're just half building a highway. And I understand this was part of the Brandwest Parkway, and this is how we got here on the west side. But is there any thought process of ever continuing to the Mid-Peninsula Corridor? Because where the QEW is today is where they're going to be where we are here in 10 years, because you can't expand that highway anymore. You've impacted the Fruit Belt. The only way to get out of that is have a Mid-Peninsula Corridor to Fort Erie up and around. And to me, it's good long-term, and I know you're the messenger, but I think that is something, I think even through your comments, it's been asked, because I think a lot of the community saw that. If we're going to do this right. And to a lot of people, I think it's just solving a short-term problem, not a long-term gain. And if we're going to do this investment, do it right. And I know you're the messenger. I know you're, but has there been any appetite, or has there anything been in your discussion to continue, you know, another phase in the future to that?
So at this time, there hasn't. In stage one of the study, other alternatives were considered, some that extended further to the west than in other areas, and ultimately a different alternative was selected, and it was the alternative that's defined by the study area that you saw in stage two. The Ministry of Transportation is also undertaking a transportation plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe, where they're looking at a variety of transportation and transit options, and that's being undertaken by other colleagues at the Ministry of Transportation. So while I don't have all the information and details on that, I understand that they have met with municipalities in June of this year, and I think they may be meeting again or will be at some point in the near future to discuss other general Greater Golden Horseshoe transportation planning.
And I know there's been a lot of planning, especially for Mayfield West, I think has been mentioned by other councillors, as well as, you know, the Coleraine. But I know you're in discussions. Are you discussing with the Mayfield group as well? Because, you know, in our official plan, it's up to Old School Road over to Shinkuzi, and now it's cutting through on that next phase. So I think that's something that I hope there's still open dialogue for those conversations going forward.
So we are still reviewing all the comments that we received at our Public Information Center, and there was a lot. So we're taking all of that information in, and that's why we have the period where we looked, review comments, and confirm the technically preferred route in spring of 2020 to make sure that we take all those comments into consideration and have that dialogue. Thank you.
And again, I'm asking you to cut it back a year to get this EA finished, because with the official plan going into elections, we need something completed. We do not need another suspended highway. There's been enough dollars and enough money spent. Just do the right thing, and I mean, you're intelligent people. Surely to heck we should be able to finish this a year sooner than what's being expected on the environmental assessment, to have it completed so that we at least have a good understanding, and allows us to be able to use the data that's developed from that, both at the town of Caledon and the city of Brampton and the region of Peel, that we can use in our official plan as well.
Thank you, and I appreciate the comments on the schedule, and we always look for efficiencies to be gained, but at this time, with the size of the project and the length of highway and preliminary design, the schedule that we presented is the one that we believe we can achieve. But I'd repeat that we do look for efficiencies as we progress through preliminary design and other phases of the study.
And I do know there's a couple of delegations coming up here to speak about this, so Mr. Chairman, I think at this point, I think it's just fair I hold my comments and hear what they have to say.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I echo that a lot of my residents are claiming that this is the highway to nowhere, and I do agree that we need to continue the dialogue in the hopes that we can further connect people in the future. But having said that, I am concerned with the interchange at Coleraine as well. I'm worried about the truck traffic. Many of my residents have brought that concern forward. More importantly, I'm worried about the long-term effects on our local roadways as well, and really what the plan is. And I'm really encouraged to hear that you are continuing the dialogue with our town staff and at the region. And I do believe that you need to bring this back as something that really needs to be. You need to dig deep into it, and it really needs to be looked at seriously, because it has been brought forward to me, and I'm very concerned about it as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We do have a couple of delegations on this topic, so you probably might want to stay and listen. So we'll now move on to the delegations. I'll call on Matthew Corey from Malone, Gavin and Parsons Limited to delegate with regards to 6.1 GTA West Corridor route planning and EA study. As per the procedure bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you, and good evening, Chair DeBoer and committee. I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. I've been listening closely to the discussion. I have to say, I do strongly share some of the comments made by Mayor Thompson and Councillor Groves with regards to Mayfield. That the nature of my comments tonight is around the S41, S42 section of the proposed highway. In short, because I have submitted a fairly lengthy letter providing our comments on this to Regional Council, to yourselves, and to the GTA West team, we request that Route S42 be carried forward as the preferred route alternative in the western portion of the highway. This is the route that does not go through the Mayfield study area. It goes north. It stays north of Old School Road until west of Chincoosey. And then we further request that S42 be modified to make the alignment straighter and eliminate the interchange at Chincoosey Road to make it more efficient and more cost-effective as a routing for the highway. When you look at the route alternatives, S42 has an unnecessary S-curve through it, which lengthens the highway a significant amount. If that was just eliminated, it would be the same length, approximately 7 kilometers in that section as all the other options, and by our assessment has less of a crossing requirement. Just some more general points I'd like to make in support of that and to discuss that. We looked at a number of the work that was done of the studies of as well as the route comparators in the work that was done. There was a few discrepancies that were made in the route selection tables that I think negatively impacted the selection of S42. There was a miscategorization of how far and how much of the Greenbelt plan that route goes through relative to the other routes. It actually goes through less, and it goes through the least amount of natural heritage system than the other routes. There is also, in the tables themselves, information and analysis that clearly supports S42 as the least impactful to the natural environment from a number of factors. We go through those in our letter and in the comments that we provide in that letter. And then, of course, if the Mayfield study area was to be taken into account, which I believe it was not during the work that was done, it has clearly the least impact on the land use planning and socioeconomic factors from any other route in this section of the plan. It is very much a requirement and standard that when EAs are being processed and done, that ongoing planning is taken into account. And I can tell you just from one of my colleagues, Mr. Don Gibbon, being at Vaughan Council last week, when the GTA West was presented there, Council had a similar situation where the route was being proposed through a study area, and a motion was passed requesting that the GTA West be moved and picked a route alignment that avoided such a study area. That is both good planning and good for the highway and for the future community. And it also, obviously, would be a much more cost-effective way of delivering the highway, especially if you're not acquiring lands in an urbanizing area at those land values. So that plus all the other inconsistencies in the tables and we think reconsideration in the route alignments clearly leads to S42 as a preferred alignment. The only other, as I said, the only other things to reiterate, I think there's a straightening and let's call it an optimization of the route alignment that could occur. And the Chincoosey Road interchange, we had a hard time understanding the rationale for that. We could see lots of access points otherwise proposed both east and west. And with Chincoosey being continuing to be in the foreseeable future a local road, had concerns with how that would work in terms of the highway and the interface and access with it. So we were requesting and looking at the potential to eliminate that interchange and obviously cost associated with that as well from the highway. I have submitted a letter. I'm happy to take any questions. The only thing I would ask of committee, having reviewed that letter, and you may have not have seen it yet because we only submitted it a few days ago, I would ask committee, and if when it goes forward to council in a week, potentially council, to consider moving a motion in regards to what we're requesting so that we have a clear message from Caledon Council to the GTA West group, the GTA West EA team, in terms of what the preference is with regards to protecting Mayfield and optimizing the highway in this location. So I thank you for your time, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay. And I don't have any questions for members of council, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now I call upon Sherry Baroshi, delegate on item 6.1, GTA West Corridor Route Planning and EA Study. And as per this procedural bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Good evening, Chair DeBoer, Council members of public, staff, and the ministry. My name is Sherry Baroshi, and I'm a resident of Caledon. Back in 2008, when we started a journey for a possible new 400 series highway across our community, probably before that though, I attended a meeting in the Brampton Fairgrounds, and Mr. Jim Wang was lead project manager. Back then, I've always said the problem is not east-west, it's actually north-south. As we all know, every Ontario region and municipality has to comply to the growth plan. The problem there is no jobs north. They're all south in the GTA. But everybody's moving north, especially the younger generation, and even my husband and I in our not quite 60s, but we will be there, regarding affordable housing is the major problem. So here are a few of my concerns. Caledon was asked to go through a process relating the GTA West Corridor and the EA, and they picked their preferred routes. They sent a staff report down to the ministry, first the region, then the ministry, staff report 2015-060. They did their due diligence, and they were speaking to the farming community and not to defragment our farming community. My question to the province, the gentlemen that are sitting here, have you actually spoken to our farming community or with this new technical route? The answer basically is yes or no.
Yes, yes. We have.
Pardon?
Yes, we have.
You've actually spoken to the farmers?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
There's no questions. Yeah. There won't be any questions of the... You make your delegation and...
So I hope that everybody's going to take notes of my questions, yep. And then so I can get some answers. Thanks. We're also a community that loves our agricultural area. I personally do not want to import my food anymore. York Region is also part of this. It's some of the prime class A1 agricultural lands and the places to grow in the provincial policy statement, as we all know, likes to protect this. Here is one of my gravest concerns. During the many years of the process that Caledon was doing, the GTA West Corridor and sending, ROPA 24 was born. And it was passed, and OPA 226 was adopted, and it was all done in 2010. There was an appeal filed to bring back some population back to Bolton. And during that appeal, the province was part of as well. The Bolton Residential Expansion Study through the Caledon process started in 2012. Caledon themselves identified six options for residential growth. Then it went... It kind of went crazy. It got appealed again. The Canadian Tire thing started. That got appealed. Provincial facilitation came in. The province was part of it. Blah, 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 blah. Dollars upon dollars upon dollars. Hours upon hours upon hours has been spent. And here we are 7 years later, and we still don't even have a shovel in the ground. I spoke to the ministry back in the day many times. I have emails to prove it, and I also have notes from meetings that I've spent. All they kept telling was keep planning, keep planning. Now this new old route that you guys have walked in here with and basically changed everything in Coleraine and Mayfield West. I take great offense that the province doesn't respect what Caledon
has done in their planning process. I also take great offense about being lack of fiduciary responsible. The Ford government just came out with an announcement for the governance issue. He decided, along with whoever down there, that they weren't going to split up Peel. They were going to keep Caledon, and they were going to keep Brampton, and they were going to keep Mississauga. But these municipalities were supposed to find efficiencies in many areas for the taxpayer. What you've done here and gone through, froze some of our employment lands right now, and also completely disrespected the planning process for the Bolton Residential's expansion study and the Region of Peel's decision, you're not being fiduciary smart, and you're not respecting us as the Ontario taxpayer. I have very grave concerns on the message that's being sent down there. I do not agree with having that interchange on Coleraine. But I would like to suggest is to take it out completely, use the Gore Road interchange, come south, as you can see, our Bolton, George Bolton Parkway is going to run east and west. Let the trucks come off there, come south and back across the George Bolton Parkway to get back into the employment lands. The other problem that I have dumping it on Coleraine is a road that is supposed to be a bypass for Bolton. It also heads north up north of Columbia Way. It dumps back into a two-lane road, Highway 50, which then dumps into a small village of Palgrave. If you have this interchange there, it's going to dump massive, massive traffic into Palgrave. It already has with the trucks. Again, and I've spoke to you at the meeting, and I'm going to reiterate it. When was the last time you have been on the 400 highway? Because it's insane. We have one north-south corridor in the province of Ontario to take us to our northern lands, and that is the 400. If you want to build a highway, this is a 50-kilometer. The Progressive Conservative government sold the 407. Now the Progressive Conservative government wants to build a new highway. My question is, A, is it going to be a toll road? And B, are you going to sell it again? Because I don't want to do this again, and I don't want my kids or my grandchildren doing this again. Moving forward, I am so frustrated with this lack of respect of what Caledon has done, and the province is not respecting what Caledon has done in Mayfield West, our employment lands, and in the east, on Coleraine. Our employment lands, you froze a part of them already. It's clearly in your map. And also disrespect for the planning process in the Bolton Residential Expansion Study. The 407 right now is 138 kilometers, to be exact. This GTA West Corridor is 50K. Why are you not, as the province, going back to the owners? Oh, and by the way, OMERS, which is your retirement fund, owns part of that 407. Why are you not going back and talking to them and say, can we somehow figure out to alleviate the traffic east-west corridor and utilize the existing highway? Because after all, provincial policy statement and places to grow say utilize the existing infrastructure. We built that highway as the taxpayer of Ontario. And you sold it, and now you want to build another one, a smaller one that takes us nowhere. If you want to invest money in rail and public transit. Because there's a saying out there, if you build it, they will come. But I don't agree with that, because you don't know if they're going to come. And you're going to impact, A, our health. And you guys all talk about climate change. So we're going to invite more cars in our community and more trucks. At the end of this, I'm going to say this. It's not a very nice saying, but I am going to say it. I talked to Mayor Thompson on the weekend about it, and I told him what I said to the province, and I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to stand up for my community. Dear Mr. Doug Ford, Premier, and staff at the Ministry of Transportation, Caledon has sank a lot of money into their planning. I bet you Brez were into it over 2.5 mil. So if you're going to completely disregard our planning, cut the check back to Caledon.
Because that tree in my backyard, and I'm sure there's others sitting in this room, that tree is not growing anymore. So please respect the money that the Caledon has spent, staff time, reports, public information meetings, your time coming up here, and now you've changed it. You've actually encroached on it. So tell Premier Doug Ford to cut the check back to Caledon and the Region Appeal because you've disregarded our planning. And that's not fair as the Ontario taxpayer. I'm not saying it to you personally. I want to retire one day.
This way, Sherry.
Long story short, Caledon Council, you are our leaders. I would hope that you would fight for the right thing of what you've done in the last 10 years, 7 years. You identified 6 options in the Bolton Residential Expansion Study. Yeah, it didn't go the way Caledon wanted it, and you're at LPAT right now, 7 years later, and we're dealing with 2031 numbers. But money was spent, our money, your money. Protect us as the people and tell the province, no. You want to build a highway? Go north of 9. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
When will I get the answers to my questions?
We will, staff's noted them.
No, I asked the province the questions, Councillor DeBoer.
Your delegation, they're not here to answer the questions. They stayed to listen. Is there any items of correspondence that members of council want to bring forward, members of committee want to bring forward? Councillor Sinclair? Please turn your microphone on, please. Thank you.
A memo from the Minister of Municipal Affairs and the decision of the province seems to be that it can take on multiple official plan amendments instead of a major overall municipal comprehensive review. And I guess I see this as a return to ad hocism in municipal planning. And there will be a lack of a landscape scale plan for transportation and major servicing. I see that as a major concern. So here we are doing multiple settlement boundary expansions up to 40 hectares at a time. I just express my concern that that's a major problem for Caledon, particularly when they say, oh, and you can have them privately initiated. Well, I don't see any reason why a consortium of developers can't come in, assemble land, carry out their only plan, and put it forward and say, approve it. Do it now. So I express those concerns.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Innes.
Just to follow up on what Councillor Sinclair said, I think given the request, I know you guys are still trying to work out exactly what it means in the process and working with Region Appeal, but I think it would be beneficial if you came back. I know the region is coming back with a report to Regional Council about it, but I think that it would benefit our area councillors to have that same information so that they understand what exactly the province's intentions are and what could and could not be made possible instead of just flinging around possible accusations and scaring some people, making others very happy. I think that we should actually know the facts and have the plan before we do so.
To you, Chair DeBoer, staff can do that. We echo some of the same concerns Councillor Sinclair brought up, and we've been working with the region on kind of responses to those kind of requests, and we can bring something back in the new year.
Thank you very much. Councillor Sinclair.
Yes. 921 official plan review update. Had some questions on that. There's reference to using a modern approach to official plans. I don't know what that is.
Sylvia?
Through the chair, we're looking at, when we say modern, we mean more of a strategic plan look rather than, and being more flexible in our approach to planning rather than being very specific. And using our zoning bylaw as the more prescriptive document. So it would become more of a strategic plan with a lot of flexibility.
How does the building bylaw deal with land use?
Again, through the chair, when we talk about being a more prescriptive, it would be the zoning bylaw. So we would be flexible when we're talking about, like, say, employment. We would be looking at very general terms, and then the bylaw would be much more specific. And it, like I said, it would be more of a strategic document rather than looking at prescriptive requirements in the OP as it is now.
Okay, is there an example of such an official plan around the province you could recommend?
Again, through the chair, we're working on that now. We've been doing a sort of best practice scan, looking at different municipalities. We've looked at Vancouver. We've looked at a number of other areas in Ontario. So we're going to be coming back with a updated report back to council in the new year with an update on our timelines, more specific timelines than we've got here. And the approach on, we've talked about one of our next steps would be consolidating our secondary plans. So that would be part and parcel of that review. So again, we'll, in the new year, we'll be bringing a more detailed description of what that looks like.
Well, I think you're... strategic high-level nature of an official plan, I guess I'd like to see some discussion of what the function of official plan is. And I think that also would entail answering a question such as, what are we trying to achieve with Caledon at all? And what are the key roles for Caledon and the GTA? We've got a lot of pressures up here, but we have a lot of opportunities. And I guess I look down at the five focus areas you're proposing, and I'm really nervous with the one that says natural resources and aggregate. Whatever happened to natural environment? I really think that Caledon was a leader in ecosystem planning with OPA 124, and I would hope that that would continue, but natural resources is cut it down, dig it up, truck it out.
Again, through the chair, that's a very broad description. It would include all of the greenbelt, ecosystem planning. There's a number of projects related to that bucket. That only describes two components of that bucket or focus area of work. There's a more detailed grouping of the work that's related in that bucket. And like you said, ecosystem planning is a huge component of that.
Okay, when will council see those buckets expanded?
Earlier in 2019, we outlined sort of a work plan that gave a description of a majority of the projects that would be undertaken in 2019, 2020, 21, and 22. What our plans are is to bring more of a detailed update on timelines now that we have the region's more descriptive timelines to try to tag our work into theirs. So we'll be bringing that forward probably in Q1 of 2020.
Okay, I hope so. It's been 8.5 months since we've heard anything from the planning department on the official plan review, so These are big gaps in time. Now you mentioned this bang the table platform, and I have a concern that I'll keep repeating. You're assuming everyone interested is fully digital and has adequate internet service. We don't. It's very expensive. So I, you know, relying on that technology may leave a lot of people behind here in Caledon.
I think you want to address that, but you got to put your mic back on.
Sorry, absolutely. Thank you, through the chair. That was only one tool that we're looking at. We've got outreach locations. We're going out into the community to talk to residents. We'll be newsletters. We're doing all kinds of outreach through events and pop-ups to try to get out to the community where digital services may be limited. We recognize that. That's only one tool.
Okay. I guess no page numbers on the memo. I talk about a Caledon Community Advisory Team as part of the governance process. What is the governance process?
Through the chair earlier this year when we outlined sort of how our work would be determined, we looked at what's in an OP, like our legal components, how we were working with the region. So we have internal documents on how the OP process works and how our team works with the rest of our internal departments, as well as the region and some of other stakeholders. And one of the governance components was the creation of a community advisory team. And we had indicated that we would be establishing that when we were ready to start sharing work and getting community members involved, and that would be an open process through nominations, and we'd be utilizing the newspaper and other means to, get interest in becoming involved in our OP review. But that was a component that was outlined in our earlier work program that we shared with Councillor in early 2019.
Okay, I guess the last point is you have the Bolton special policy area mentioned here. Caledon East needs a special policy area very quickly. There's no, seems to be no possibility of any improvement and development in the core at this point. It's really looking pretty toothless.
Again, through the chair, the very last page, which outlines sort of next steps, the final comment was secondary plan consolidations and updating, and that was something that we're looking at. We're looking at different opportunities to either create a one system secondary plan for all our villages and hamlets, or to look at ones that are in badly in need of sort of more in-depth review, and that Caledon Village was one that's been identified. Right. We can provide you with more details on that in the new year.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Gross.
Thank you. And just to follow on Councillor Sinclair's comment on the letter from Minister Clark, I too share Councillor Sinclair's concern. And the concern that I have is exactly what Councillor Sinclair said. We're going to have a bunch of developers coming in saying, well, you know what, I got 40 hectares or under 40 hectares, so we don't need an MCR. We can just go ahead and do this. The trouble with that is servicing. Who's going to service it? Because I know the region is quite concerned about that, because obviously the region is going to have to provide those services. So we somehow need to communicate that to the minister, that while this is great and the province isn't giving us any money to do anything, and I can tell you that the region, we don't have any money either to build the infrastructure. In fact, we got infrastructure that we need to build, and we're building it with no money. So that's a concern for me. The other, following the official plan review, if we could please look at the Highway 50 corridor, and I think I'm going to sound like a broken record, but this is really important to Bolton because it is our gateway, and looking at it, it doesn't look very appealing. And so some of the challenges that some of the applicants are facing is process. The process is very lengthy. We talk about the province is talking about streamlining. I fully support that. The other thing is really the cost. So if we can look at Highway 50 and have some flexibility in the zoning where you permit some type of residential along with a mix of commercial, that would be helpful, because that actually will help some of the applications that we have move forward. And certainly I know that we do need that. Bolton needs it, and it'll certainly clean up the Highway 50 corridor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
Well, talking to your memo here, back to Sylvia here, I see it from a different lens. I find it a little bit of refreshing that we're overhauling the whole thing to find the streamlined processes to maybe hopefully start to make things work in a positive tone and change the way we do things that, you know, with farms or whoever come in, that we're getting the yes attitude because the policies are allowing us to take the opportunity. I agree with Councillor Sinclair in a way that we have a huge amount of opportunities that we can grow and benefit from the growth that's coming, but especially for agriculture and business to prosper here and how to trade in that environment. So I've read through this carefully, and I have to say that I think we're on this. To me, it's refreshing to read something that we're looking at. Also, I got to say, since your earlier memo, I see you've tightened up the calendar on it, and I say thank you very much on that, because I think I feel much better now that we're going to have most of this stuff other than the statutory done by the end of 2020. And to me, I think that's if we can stay to this schedule here, I think we've accomplished a lot, and especially through community engagement. I know, you know, there's an exercise with the farm community and the whole community in general. I think there's been some good ideas here that we need to be concerned to look out and be about it. I do believe that, you know, with agriculture and growth and everything, that all I'm going to say is the Greenland systems and everything else is how we benefit, especially for climate change, and how we can embrace that to make that a huge asset for us going forward. And I do believe with what we have here, there's an opportunity for us to start to go for carbon neutral or even energy neutral plans going forward. I think we've been a leader in a lot of things here, and to me, Sylvia, I think you're on the right track, and thank you for this. And I think you've listened to us from what we recommended before on the earlier memos that you've brought. You've definitely listened and take it in, and yes, there's going to be lots of tweaking. There's going to be a lot of good community input, but what I really found is it's opening and inviting, and thank you for that.
Thank you. Councillor Sinclair.
Well, I was on council when we did the, I think it was around 97, 96, 97, big OMB hearing, and we got the trinodal concept of containing growth into three rural service centers. And what makes me cautious about it is the way the OMB hearing officer handled at least eight major subdivision developers in Bolton who showed up at the hearing and waved some sketch of a development proposal on the back of an envelope and said, "We want to be heard too." He said, "Oh yeah, sure." So developer and after developer came in. And Bolton just got built out so fast. At one point, 50% of the people had been there for 5 years or less. And there is no opportunity to do a secondary plan, any of the careful layouts that were necessary, and it's a very difficult village to deal with. Former provincial highway, north-south. Major deep river valley corridor, generally east-west. Railway cutting on a slashing motion through the other side. Difficult soils. Bolton could be much better, but we didn't have a chance. And that's what I'm worried about when I see Mr. Clark's letter. And these talk about it's all code, flexibility, which really means letter rip. And I think we have an obligation to future generations here to do some very careful urban planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Were there any other comments for correspondence? I just want to make one comment on it. Is that, Sylvia, you and your team have your work cut out for you. I think that there's a very good timeline. I do like the timeline that you're proposing and the layout. The pop-ups, you're addressing the concerns with lack of internet and going out into the community to generate interest. It's refreshing to see that. And I think you and your team have to be congratulated. I think there is maybe an opportunity to talk to maybe a couple of councillors or one-on-one and maybe address those meetings and then one-on-one with everyone to have some of their ideas and stuff incorporated into it earlier. But I do look forward to this project and wish you all the best. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.